Check 1, 2. Hey, what's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show is live in the DealsInTheD.com studios for Monday. And we're live on Facebook. And my, much to get around to. You know, I really want to talk about Little Richard, because there's a lot of great Little Richard stuff to talk about. But I think I want to wait because we'll get tossed off of Facebook.
Yeah, before he play, be able to play
yeah,
anything,
so
probably.
I'll wait till why don't we do 40 minutes on Facebook?
Gladly. That would be nice.
Okay. And boy, those promo codes are ringing up at Death Wish Coffee, the advertiser we so need to keep. The world's strongest coffee and a serious brew that will punch you in the face with double the caffeine of your typical cup of coffee. People are digging Death Wish. They're putting up pictures on Facebook. They're sending me their reviews, which have all been very nice. So, you can get this badassery all over Metro Detroit in your favorite grocery stores like Kroger, Meijer. If you want to shop online, this is how most people are doing it. Go to deathwishcoffee.com/Drew. And man, have they been banging that promo code. That's access to all the coffee products, including the killer merch. They got great, their logos and merchandising and marketing is really good. And while you're there, use promo code Drew15 at checkout to save 15% on your entire order. That's Drew15 at checkout. High octane fuel for the human machine, and they've got contests going on where you can win coffee if you go to click on their logo on our site.
Yep.
Or go to their site. So there. And I was at Mesa on Friday. We were kind of meeting with the staff, the core, the Mesa core.
Spirit's still high?
Yeah, no, they're doing great. They're doing fantastic. And I met the cook, and she does a great job. And
make yourself a dang quesadilla.
Wait a sec.
I eat so much food.
Wait a sec. You just met the chef?
Well, I'm not in the kitchen.
I love how hands-off you are.
Well,
you are fairly hands-off.
In some areas, in most areas. Yeah. But anyway, you know, it's hard to get people right now because people are afraid of going to work. People are afraid of being places for any length of time. People are afraid of being around people. But everybody's wearing masks. Everybody's doing fine. We haven't had any problems.
But, do you have a bouncer at the door for anybody that comes in without a mask?
Well, Joe can take care of that.
All
Joe's
right.
a big guy.
Joe.
I've seen Joe lifting at LA Fitness, although Ooh. He might be softening up.
How much does he bench?
Joe, I bet he benches 250.
We love you, Joe!
I'll have to ask Matt about that. I haven't benched anything in like 3 months now.
Yeah. Just this last Friday at 2:23 p.m., I was benching, and I put up 350 pounds.
Yeah! My back was so screwed up. Now my back feels better, but I'm stuck. So I don't know. Am I going to get some weights and get a Peloton?
yeah, please get a Peloton, Drew.
Matt's doing it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's got a nice punk rock program.
We have a very dedicated listener who
what
rides.
What kind of bike do you have?
Rides Peloton too, and he has Peloton friends and a
Wait,
Peloton group.
Could this be Patrick?
No.
I didn't think so.
His name's Brian. He has a house near your house in Ann Arbor.
Oh, okay.
Am I divulging too much information
That's another bad story, by the way, since coronavirus hit. Ah!
What?
Oh, my God. Well, another time and place. But anyway, the point at Mesa was, you know, I get there. We had this fabulous Cinco de Mayo. We've had, you know, the first week we did 4,700 in carryout business. Which we were like, wow, 4,700. And that was, we were hoping.
I love how you divulge how much has come in. You're not a publicly traded company. You don't have to.
This is the first week. It wasn't really.
Just makes me laugh.
It wasn't that great. Anyway, we've been going up a little bit every week. And we got this, one of our listeners hooked us up with Frontline, which is where they sign up restaurants to do large orders for hospitals and stuff. Oh, my God. That's been a godsend.
I don't speak Spanish.
But what I've learned is, you know, and actually I've learned more about the business than I ever knew in the past. I just thought, hey, it's in Royal Oak. It's great. It's just going to kill. And I like eating there. And I like going to the bar once in a while.
I'm a businessman. That's what I'm supposed to do.
So, you know, I was just enjoying it, having fun. And then all of a sudden it's like, whammo, you know. Restaurant shut down, carry out business, and, you know, a lot of new stuff going on. So anyway, Friday, we were going through all the ordering and the fact that, you know, a lot of it's DoorDash and Uber Eats. Mm-hmm. And I saw Fox 2 did a story about this, about it was a restaurateur basically saying, not only are we fucked because we're now a carryout business, but when we do half of our business with DoorDash and yep. Uber Eats, they take 15 to 20%. Yeah. And in fact, he showed $1,076 in revenue, I think it was for that day, $376 he had paid to delivery services. So the point is, if you feel like getting out and doing curbside, it sure is nice for these restaurants, not just ours, but all of them.
Man, I'm starting to get used to like curbside pickup for everything. It's great.
I don't mind. I really like it.
It's easy. That's going to be one of the big changes, isn't it? Just curbside pickup. Why should you have to go into a place to get it? Make them come to you.
I know. This is going to really change a lot of things, because I think what happens is, you know, you find out that I didn't really need to be doing that.
I didn't even know that existed.
Talking to a couple friends who have kids in college, are going, what am I paying $30,000 a year for? My kid is doing it online, and all they're missing are the parties. Of course, the parties are important, too. But, you know, there was talk about Big Ten football and Southeast Conference football, and Sean Windsor had a story.
Oh, he did. I didn't see it.
My favorite part of the comments, always.
Yeah.
Because Sean did a story, and Nolan Phelan did a story, and they're really on other sides of the fence. Not completely, but Sean is saying, let science decide what happens at the cathedral known as the Big House this fall.
Well, that doesn't work quite like that. Sounds like we got a debate for tomorrow.
I don't know, but there's a lot of people that suggest if you go anywhere, you don't believe in science, or if you want to open up part of the economy, then you just want to kill people.
Sure, that's
stupid. I mean, there's everyone is so dramatic these days. Except
I know. I told Brandon before the show my new stance is I just want everything open. I want a big concert right here in Detroit. I want everything to be wide open because I'm sick of everybody arguing about it. So just open it up. People that want to stay home can stay home. Those that don't want to stay home can just go do whatever they want, and that's fine. That's the best way to solve it now, because I'm done with the argument.
Honestly, I'm not sure. Well, I mean, I wasn't even going to go here, but might as well.
I know. I really didn't want to either.
There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. I'm serious. I'm kind of psyched because 2020 was incredible Friday night. There's another true crime story I just found out about that I was sort of excited about to learn more about it. It's just a crazy ass story. Tekashi 6ix9ine. Oh, yeah. He's back on Instagram with millions of people attending his live event because
he's breaking records
and shooting music videos at home on house arrest.
Have you
stacks of cash?
Have you seen or heard the new music video?
Yeah.
What? He's back. He's back.
I really feel like he's like, okay, my stuff kind of sucks. I'm going to make it even worse now because it's just atrocious.
Mark,
the video's a bunch of big butts moving around.
I just can't help assuming that I'm just old and there's something that this guy does that shows incredible talent, but I can't understand it because I'm 60 years old. I don't know how else to understand it.
I kind of feel the same way, and I like a lot of hip-hop and rap. Tends to skew older stuff, nothing more recent, and it's just I don't get it now.
You know, maybe this is my age, but when rap was, or in hip-hop, I'm thinking about like, Pop Goes the Weasel, Third or base. The Humpty Dance, or stuff like that. I thought those
songs... I don't listen to hip-hop.
I got kind of I laughed about those songs. They had good beats. I don't know. I wasn't really totally against it. There's just so much crap out there now that people love. I mean, but they love it. They love it. And if it says the N-word 40 times, it's better than saying the N-word 20 times.
Yeah.
In fact, why can Tekashi use the N-word?
Because he's a person of color. Lots of colors. The whole rainbow.
Wait, he's... Isn't he Mexican?
He's Hispanic,
And white?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't make the rules. They like it.
Tekashi gets out of jail, and he decides, I'm going to go on to Instagram, debut my new song. And he also decides he's going to kind of discuss everything that he went through, the entire ordeal with the court system, and why he snitched. And I really thought that he said very articulate words. And I completely understood what he was talking about. And here's the thing, though.
I don't speak Spanish.
He broke the record for Instagram. The most ever live viewers during an Instagram live. This video right here.
By the way,
we might get
thrown off.
What?
Although it's Instagram and it's owned by Facebook, so who knows? I don't know.
I don't know either, but I don't want to get kicked off of that weasel.
Yeah,
you mean
that.
You mean his explanation for why he's snitching and why he didn't do anything wrong?
Let's try it.
Oh, yeah, fine. Go with that. I'm fine with that.
Like I said, this is where he describes exactly why he made the decisions he made.
Kidnapped me, beat the shit out of me on video and everything. I'm supposed to be loyal to that? No, you know what? You know what it is? Y'all don't want to accept the fact that those is all true facts. Y'all don't want to accept. Y'all understand why I snitch. Y'all understand. Y'all don't want to understand.
God.
It's not that y'all don't understand. Y'all don't want to understand. Y'all don't want to understand that. Damn, this kid really was he moved their families out of poverty. He paid for schools for all of the members, whatever. But he snitched on them. Why? Were they loyal to me?
Pause for a second.
Because
in case you couldn't hear that drop, it's.
I didn't hear it. I love that drop.
It's, it's so low, though.
He's talking about all these wonderful things he does, but he fails to. He doesn't seem to be at all apologetic to the people, the armed robberies, the shootings. I mean, shouldn't that be what he's talking about if he truly were a person who felt so badly as it was suggested by his attorneys?
No, he doesn't really get into why he was in prison in the first place. Who cares about that stuff?
Is he an example for children?
He's talking about, you know, the repercussions. Everybody is talking about him because, you know, he's a snitch and a lot of people have given threats to him.
Well, so he says that no one was loyal to him, so why should he be loyal to anyone else? Now, that has nothing to do with snitching. That's not the same thing.
Hey, Takashi, if someone jumped off a building, would you jump off to? Is that the argument?
I mean, he makes it sound like we're all out there committing crimes, and as long as we're loyal to each other, we don't snitch about it. No, we're not all out there performing armed robberies and videotaping them and having sex with 13-year-olds on Instagram and videotaping it. We're not all doing that. So, no, we
don't
understand.
I don't think that's the answer.
Do we want to hear more from his explanation?
I just want to say this, too. Meek Mill is so angry about this. And Meek Mill, you know, I thought he was suggesting that I never did anything wrong. So he still, I mean, I thought he was saying that I'm a good guy. But is he a good guy if he doesn't want people snitching on people committing crimes? I mean, it seems to me that you should be against crime if you think that that the legal system has cheated you. The law-abiding Meek Mill, you should not be in favor of snitching.
I didn't do this stuff.
I mean, really? Do we want?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Do we want people not to snitch when people murder people and rob banks and rob people and commit rapes?
No, we seem
is
to
that loyalty to not snitch on them?
We seem to have it backwards. When there's a crime involved, no one wants to snitch. But when there's a violation of some Twitter standard,
no wokeness. If you're unwoke, then you should be canceled. If you went on a date and you got overly aggressive with a woman, you should be canceled and lose your job.
Did you see the new person who was doxxed on Twitter pretty heavily too?
Who?
This lady in Hawaii that just went off when someone tried to have her move her car.
She went off? Why?
Okay. I
saw the video. It went viral.
It went hugely viral. And the first thing underneath it is, this is her name. She works at this school teaching kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
Here's the email address. And I thought the interesting thing was the response to the doxing part. Because it's, you would be surprised, more people are pissed about, or not pissed about it, but they're mad that she was doxxed as well. Because she didn't commit a crime. She's just being an idiot.
Who's she yelling at?
A security guard or a cop. Might be a cop. I don't know.
So she's white and the guard's black?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh.
I don't think. You know what's funny? I don't see color because I couldn't tell you. I don't think the security guard was a person of color. I don't remember, though.
And she was a person of color or she wasn't?
No, she was white, of course. Come on.
I was thinking about in the crosswalk where the guy, he parked in the crosswalk and she was yelling. Is that the one you're talking about?
I think so. Yeah. She's pretty nasty.
You would think with pandemic,
it's a nasty woman,
a pandemic going on and our economy cratering, that people would really just not give a shit about somebody yelling at a security guard.
Everyone's on edge. It was, I got to admit, pretty fantastic video.
Okay.
Pretty good expletive.
Well, let's.
Oh, that's a different one, Brandon. That's a different one.
Oh, this is the one I thought you were talking about. Okay. The girl who's punching the car. Yeah. Because this is the one that went viral.
Why don't we wrap up Takashi?
Yeah, go for it.
Because he really is making a hell of a statement here. And, you know, for a young star, you can hear the brilliance in his.
When I met son, he was sleeping on the rug. I'll give him money. Look, listen, I'm a rainbow Mexican hair kid. I rap. I'm not about that gang shit, but listen, I know how to get us out. You wasn't loyal to me. Whether But y'all understand. Let's just, y'all understand. And I know you understand. Y'all don't want to understand. All right. Let me tell you. Before I got locked up, right? Before I got locked up. Fuck that rainbow hair nigga. Fuck Tekashi Snow. Fuck him. Fuck that rainbow hair kid. What? Fuck him. Fuck that rainbow hair kid. Y'all didn't really have a reason to dislike me just because I screamed in raps and I got rainbow hair. That was y'all reason, right? Or he's mad, loud. That was y'all reason. But then now y'all got a reason. So of course the go-to is, oh, he snitched. Truck driver. He's a rat. He's a rat. So that's y'all go-to, which I understand and I don't blame y'all. I can't blame y'all. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my fans because they don't deserve it. My family, my mother, my family don't deserve that. And I'm sorry. But y'all not going to break me down like if I did something wrong. Listen, I snitched. I ratted. But who was I supposed to be loyal to? If you can't be loyal to me out here in the free world, and you fucking my baby mom, and while I'm out on tour making money for all of us, you back at home,
I didn't do that.
Sleep with my baby mom, then I get kidnapped, then you try to kill me. If you can't be loyal to me out here in the free world, what makes you think if I would have held it down, you wouldn't violate me in prison?
Oh my God, enough.
I'm sure if his baby mom were in prison for 2 years, he would never have sex outside of that relationship.
He's loyal. Ever. What are you talking about? He just talked about loyalty.
By the way, he's not seen his child yet. And has made no arrangements.
COVID.
Has not called his baby mom either.
COVID.
Hasn't called her.
He doesn't want to give her COVID.
Talk to her. Did we have, I'm just trying to, in any point in the last, just say 30 years or so, 40, 50 years, mm-hmm. since rock and roll started, whenever that is, have we ever had so many people who just sound like complete morons who are literally on top?
Well, yeah, because it's a lot easier to do music. That's music in air quotes now. It's a lot easier. We've talked about this a million times. It's a lot about.
No, I understand. It's easier, but I still would think. So, in other words, we're more concerned about whether somebody commits crimes and is cool and tough and then if
the communication
hot.
Is so much
hot.
Different, though. The communication, you're used to, you know, grow up and you'd be reading the magazines and stuff like that. That's how you'd learn about all your heroes and you'd listen to them. Well, now it's all face to face. We're seeing it on social media. I mean, this to me sounds like the male version of Cardi B. You know,
well, there's kids out there that love this stuff.
The music is just, I don't know, I'm just thinking of, you know, the people who are on top mm-hmm. at certain times, you know, whether it be Led Zeppelin,
okay, Boomer.
Elton John, Prince, Michael Jackson. I mean, they all seem like intelligent people. They all seem like smart people that make great music. I mean, truly great artists. And then when, you know, Britney Spears is on top for 5 years or however long that lasted.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Nicki Minaj and
all getting dumber.
Yeah. It just seems like the music doesn't matter. It's all the other stuff.
I'm trying to see what's.
Well, I just saw Tom Morello came out and he was upset that kids these days aren't playing a lot of guitar. And he said if you take the top 50 songs right now on the Billboard, there's not a single guitar solo in them. And that pisses him off. And I understand because that's the music. I loved rock and roll. I loved hearing
solos. You know who's on top of the charts right now?
Oh, Tekashi?
Young Boy Never Broke Again. Didn't he just get out of prison or isn't he charged with murder?
Oh, if he's charged Young with murder, NBA. Then he's got to be number one.
The baby's number two.
He's who's that dude?
He's had his share of crime over the last couple months. Lil Uzi Vert is number three.
You know, I always thought
The Weeknd finally four, Lil Baby five, Post Malone six.
The whole street cred thing, I always thought, that's really can't affect a hit record, but it really you do have to have some crimes to have a hit record. It seems in that industry, in that division, you've got to have some criminal activity, or you just can't win.
I don't get it.
So, okay, like Stevie Wonder doesn't have a chance nowadays.
Fuck no, that old guy.
Well, no, look at John Legend. I mean, it's not exactly hip hop, but he's
John Legend's pretty comparable to Stevie.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
He's got 20 songs you really like.
I don't like him.
But Stevie was everywhere when he was at his pinnacle. He was showing up for all the award shows and doing everything.
I'm half kidding. I'm just trying to think of a comparison to Stevie. I think Legend's fairly comparable. I don't really care for him.
Oh my gosh. Sean Legend, Stevie Wonder.
He's got an EGOT and
I'm the sexiest man alive.
And he can see.
How many John Legend songs do you know? Can you name?
That married song. Doesn't he do a song about getting married or something?
Okay, that's one.
I don't know.
Can't you name like a bunch of Stevie Wonder songs? And you're too young for Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder's way better than John Legend. I'm just trying to think of a comparison today because nobody really
Bruno
does
Bruno Mars is certainly a talented R&B guy.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he gets ragged on all the time, too. Because I was starting to like him, and so I'm reading about him. I'm like, what? He's not... wait, what was the complaint about him? That he's...
Cultural appropriation.
Cuban or something. Yeah, he's culturally appropriating black music, and he's not black enough. okay, whatever. It's just not about the music, I guess. We'll just have to leave it there.
To like this guy. Just kidding. I still hate you.
But isn't that on the consumer? I mean,
yeah,
yeah. Well, hey, if you like shitty music because the people commit crimes or they look really good.
But I do think a lot of it's streaming.
Yeah, but that's still okay. So you're looking at it. You could take the music out, but sure. If you look at it, so why don't they just do the videos without the music?
Well, they could, but then you're
might
not
be more
get
popular because the music isn't very good.
Sure. But they must be counting.
Or just use the same song for all the videos. There's less effort, less cost.
Well, look at
the music doesn't matter.
Look how huge Gangnam Style was, right? That's not because of the music. That's because of the video.
Well, you know what, though? That song
is kind of catchy.
That song is very catchy. I respect that song as a pop song. I mean, it's got, you know what people.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Because I saw Brooke doing this, Evans. Mm-hmm. 2.5-year-old, she loves Gangnam Style. it's when the music stops, those false ends, and it goes Gangnam up style, again.
Yep. Yeah.
She loves that part.
Catches him by surprise.
All right, do you want to hear the lady go wild, or do you want to read that first? Probably read that first.
I guess. I'm so sick of these people, honestly. Yeah, all right. Emergency Response Services Incorporated, Southeast Michigan's fastest responders to your home or business, water extraction or drying needs, or maybe it's mold, storm damage, fire damage, all those horrible things. And you go, oh, fuck, who do I call? Call 877, job done.
Yeah, tell them what your problem is and say.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
877jobdone.com or call 877-JOB-DONE. And as far as COVID, they're doing that too. And you can get it done for free if you're an emergency plumber or you work for a plumbing supply house in Southeast Michigan. Call now for your free COVID-19 disinfection treatment in your workplace or your work vehicle. How cool is that? Give them a try. They're putting their money where their mouth is. 877-JOB-DONE, 877jobdone.com. Emergency Response Services, Inc. Tell them Drew sent you.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm ready for this idiot.
Yeah, very little context. They just threw her up online. I don't know what she's blocking. They asked her to move. That guy looks, I don't know, maybe Hawaiian, possibly Asian. So there's your question for the security guard.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
She points at the camera filming her, and that's how it starts with her telling him to F off.
Driving, enough.
Park no, it's
driving.
Not enough!
Park your car.
He's no! Driving.
Like, what the hell?
You better get the fuck away from me. Fuck no. You!
We have a car. This is a roadway over here, man. Can you please move?
Everyone better stop fucking yelling at me right now, if I'm not fucking moving.
Can you please move your car?
Thank you!
The same thing to a fucking car right now.
A piece of shit car, by the way.
Okay?
I don't listen to you either.
Listen
you short fucking piece of shit.
Whoa.
Okay?
She's a heightist.
Oh, yeah. She told me I'm a short fucking piece of shit.
Grow some fucking balls, baby. Grow some fucking balls. No. I'm
great
not
drop.
Listen
you
to me.
No.
You can talk all the fuck you want, all you fucking Hawaiian. The white lady's fucking crazy.
Oh, there you go. White lady yelling
you
at a Hawaiian.
Talk all the fuck that you want. You
oh, she's moving her car. Wait. She... She moved her car, though. I thought she wasn't going to move her car.
About 10 seconds. She's losing her shit.
10 seconds. She lost her shit the whole way through.
You can talk all the fuck you want, all you fucking Hawaiians. The white lady's fucking crazy. You can talk all the fuck that you want, you fucking motherfuckers. No, it's not enough. It is not enough.
What the hell happened there? Why is she screaming?
I almost don't... I almost don't want any context whatsoever.
Is that where it ended?
Yeah, it's a minute long.
Wow.
I don't see any more. But look at the second tweet. Blank is her name. She's a kindergarten teacher at blank school. And they give the address and the phone numbers. And so if you click on that, people are like, I'm sending an email immediately. And other people are like, okay, she's an idiot, but you're being an asshole.
I can almost...
Do we need to ruin someone's life over one video?
It reminded me of something when... when I had Mags and Layla at the rest stop, and I went to fill their bowl
Mr.
with water.
Guy, yeah.
Yeah, and the Mr. Water police came and goes, hey, the germs on that bowl. Yeah. Okay, first of all, I cleaned the bowl.
And your response back was?
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
And so I said, I cleaned the bowl. And he said, well, you bet. I mean, he was like apoplectic.
Yeah.
And he insisted, you could, the water outside, we got a hose, you gotta go out there, come on, go outside. And I'm like, no.
Get the word, don't spread the germs, bitch.
I feel a little bit like that lady, because I was like, I don't want water anymore. I don't want any water. No, come on out here. No. And I said, no, I don't want water. I don't want water. He says, yeah, you do, you're just fine. No, I don't want water. I don't want to do what you tell me to do. You told me to do something once, and I did it. I'm not putting water in a clean bowl. I'm not doing the second thing you tell me to do.
I know. I love getting babyish like that.
Well, he just was so fucking aggressive.
Get away from
and
me,
was like,
dude.
Fuck you. Get out of my life.
Yeah.
You've given me one more order than I needed from you.
You're lucky you weren't being filmed. You would have been doxxed.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Is he an example for children?
So, Sean's article.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's funny because people are just, they're so mad. Everyone is so mad.
And about everything.
Yeah. And I don't understand, why are people so mad? I mean, people look at things differently. And I think, you know, if I had to say my piece, I would say that there's been really a huge, huge amount of coverage about people dying, and I think it has an effect on people. I think they're very scared, and I don't think there's quite enough context, because there's something else going on where our economy's dying, and that's going to cause a lot of misery too. And
people are being, I feel as maybe they're being hyperbolic about both, right? That everyone's going to die and the economy's never going to recover.
Yeah, I think the people that are absolutely on one side, because I'm not absolutely on one side. I don't feel
most,
that way.
I'm
afraid of this thing, and I'm also afraid of the economy, and also believe in myself that I can take measures to make myself less susceptible to this thing. Apparently, some people just don't think they can do that. They think, oh, I just bunch up with people all the time and I can't be stopped. You know, I kiss people all the time.
Yeah.
I take people's germs in my mouth all the time. I eat stuff off the floor. You know, I'm hopeless against this.
Don't you think it's the asymptomatic nature of it that has really freaked people out, because you can be carrying it and then passing it off? I think that's,
well, yeah. I mean, there's a million ways you can look at it. But if you keep yourself safe and you're careful around, I mean, you have to be very careful. It's not easy. But to be honest, I've learned to do it, and I notice that when I'm in the store and I start down an aisle, somebody else will go out of my aisle, or I'll go out of that aisle because I don't want to pass them, which is really weird. But, yeah. You know, I see it walking Mags or Layla, oh, Mags, walking Layla on the sidewalk, and somebody's coming with their dogs, and they'll cross the street. Mm-hmm. And really, you feel like, oh, my God, what am I, a leper?
But you miss hugs like Mitch. You miss interaction.
I'm okay. And I've adjusted to it, too. And I will adjust my path to avoid people as well. And I believe that I can do that. I believe I can survive this thing. And I also believe in my immunity system. But I'm not taking chances, because I'm not in the younger age group.
What majority?
So I'm a risk to me. I should be more scared than anyone who's 20 years younger than me, or 30 years younger than me, or 50 years younger than me.
There was a new poll about... are the restrictions being lifted too quickly or not fast enough? Because last time we heard it was 66%.
It's really, most people say they don't want to go back to work.
Yeah, it's because they're getting unemployment.
That's probably part of it.
Well, for some.
Doesn't mean it's all of it.
It's everybody, yeah. It's up to 71%.
Oh, now. More people don't want to go back to work.
More people are worried that the restrictions are being lifted too quickly. But, you know, one of those new data graphs with the cell phones and the movement show that the states that are reopening, it doesn't seem like many people are doing much stuff.
No.
So yeah, you're
oh, they're
see
not
a lot
doing
of
much stuff.
No,
right.
No,
which, by the way,
still staying home.
Is one of the big concerns, is that people are going to go out and they're going to go to work, but they're not going to be spending money. They're not going to be going to dinner. They're not going to go to lunch. They're not going to be going to the movies. They're not going to be doing this. And so you're going to have a real problem with, you know, tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, God, I was just reading the most horrible fucking things. First of all, my brother checked back in.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he told me, he was talking about California, and Newsom is pretty aggressive. He wants to open California. He wants, for example, he said the manufacturers can open. And Elon must have fit because Alameda County said no.
Yeah. To that point, why hasn't someone in this state made a call to Musk since he's so insistent about of course, kind of defeats
his... We're not open.
I know, but why? If Tesla...
Oh, no, our auto companies are.
Do you like rockets?
Oh, here,
so
okay.
Make a call to him immediately and say, bring it all here. We have a manufacturing base. We know how to do stuff.
Well, here's the really funny thing, is the feeling is that this is not safe. It's a bunch of people in a factory. It's a COVID breeding ground. But in Michigan, we're told it's the safest place to open.
Yeah. So let's do it.
Is it really the safest place to open, or is it just that it brings in more money and they have more clout politically, just like the churches do? Because did you see the church restriction has been lifted?
Of course.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, because you need votes.
Do people distance more in a church?
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't want to sit by anybody.
Seems to me like a lot of people go to church.
Yeah.
I mean, the churches that we saw.
Churches I go to are pretty empty.
So
I know what you mean.
It's being open
because
there's
voting base that will go out and vote.
And I saw the in Nolan Finley's article. Nolan's talking about unemployment is costing Michigan $840 million a week. I mean, that's a staggering number. That's staggering.
Mm-hmm.
They had the chairman of the Anderson Economic Group. Of course, everyone trusts the word of the Anderson Economic Group. The renowned Anderson Economic Group. I have no fucking idea. This guy said, we can't sustain it. My issue with decision-making at the state level is failure to be frank with people about the cost of shutdowns. I personally very much agree with him. It's all about, you're going to die. I'm going to save you. It's not about, you know, we got to start thinking about going back because here's what we're losing and we're going to have to cut all these services. They will have a crushing impact on lives and the state's ability to render services. And that's true. I mean, here's what California has. California, when Newsom, before this, they had a $15 billion surplus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what their deficit is now?
I don't know, $5
billion? $60
billion.
$60 billion.
Cool.
So he's rather desperate, and he's a liberal guy in a liberal state. And the feeling is that people on the left are more worried about this than people on the right. Now, I don't know how that works. I don't even understand that. But it seems to have some truth.
So one side's a bunch of babies, and the other side's they're not babies.
Well, I guess there's a lot of protests in California.
Tons.
People are very pissed.
California!
People are getting worried. When 26 weeks is up,
mm-hmm.
unemployment extension, I don't know. I don't know where we're going with this, but anyway.
Just open it all right now. Just open everything.
So those numbers, Michigan, by the way, Michigan's deficit is much, much less than California's. Nolan said they're talking about $3.5 billion. That's a big hole for Michigan, though. That's a lot. I mean, that's cutting a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And his argument, too, and I didn't even want to get into this, but I'll just say what it was. The feeling was with the renowned Anderson Economic Group, and of course, everyone knows who they are.
By Dr. Anderson from Michigan.
they were going through the number, and of course, people, this is, I hate this too, that people stretch numbers and change numbers just depending on, like, you can compare this state to that state, or you can compare this state to that state.
Sure.
And you look better.
They're all
or you can say, we have less deaths per million in this county, even though, you know, the county next to you has way less deaths per million. But the state over there, you know, and people do this all the time, and they don't really account for it.
I'm really surprised that we haven't gotten to the point of opening up. Going county by county and opening it up.
Well, that's kind of what the Anderson Economic Group was talking about, that so much of the state could have been open a month ago. And he was referring to the number of cases, deaths, mm-hmm. and he was excluding Detroit.
Sure.
And what's the other area that's strong? Wayne County or Oakland County?
Well, yeah, Wayne. I mean, Detroit's in Wayne. I don't know if that's why. Oakland County's pretty nasty.
Anyway, I think he mentioned two places that should not open. But he was saying, look at all that could have been being done and how many more people would not have had to file for unemployment had that happened. And so, you know, and there's a multiplier effect. There's an exponential effect economically as there is with the virus. So on and on and on.
Did you see what country just closed down again? South Korea.
Oh, South Korea.
Yeah. Now, mainly, the story's a little misleading with that headline, but they had to shut bars and discos. Well, by the way, why is it always discotheques in other countries? Nobody refers to that here.
I don't know. But they had to close it down
because one guy, they did really good contact tracing and saw where
which is we're doing so poorly. Yeah. So poorly at that in the U.S.
A lot of people are saying that the model to reopen would be the porn industry because the porn industry does fantastic contact tracing. Everybody gets tested all the time for STDs.
Yeah.
And then they know exactly who they've worked with. And so if someone has a bad test, they can shut these people down. I thought it was kind of interesting.
You know, my doctor
to be the model again.
My doctor said they can test for antibodies, and I think he said you can have the numbers in 20 minutes. So I was like, why don't I just go out there and get this done?
Go ahead.
I just have a feeling I've got antibodies. I don't know why.
You don't, but go to I think Quest
well,
Diagnostics.
Know. You don't know
you
that.
You don't have
you don't know that.
Yeah, I do. You don't.
You don't.
You don't have
them. Right, I'm just going to go out there just to prove I have the antibodies.
Go get sick.
I'll probably
first.
Fucking catch it on my way there. Stopping for gas and
I've known,
my second house and making out with my landscaper.
I've known 7 people that have gotten antibody tests. None of them have antibodies.
I'm kind of surprised because Michigan seems to have a lot of cases.
I know.
I think more people would have them.
And the half of those work in, no, actually all of them but 2 work in the medical field.
So Korea is closing back down.
Let me find that.
Closing everything down?
Let me find the story.
That's great news.
I thought they were the pinnacle. I thought they were the best at, you know, killing that curve.
They see that, but they didn't close back down. They're just like Sweden, you know, people think Sweden never closed anything, but they issued a nationwide health advisory for bars and nightclubs to close down for 30 more days after they tracked 13 new cases to one person who went to 5 nightclubs and bars in Seoul.
Oh,
that guy was partying it
up. Nightclubs and bars.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize nightclubs and bars were open, so people can just go dance away on a jammed up dance floor.
Yeah. This guy passed it on 13 cases.
Well, I mean,
he had no symptoms when he went to the night.
Does that really
spot.
Surprise anyone?
Tested positive on Wednesday. Let's see what else. Officials think he may have come in contact with over 1,500 people during during his one night out. This guy tore it up.
Fucker.
Man, who is this guy? They're now using closed circuit television credit card records to help identify all visitors and encouraging them all to self-isolate, which, you know, they will.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about the business of tracing someone. That's great music, by the way.
Cold, that is a hard end.
That was some disco. So I was thinking about tracing and, like, you know, if they said, okay, your job is to trace, you got to get all this. I'd be like, just forget it, I quit. It just seems like such a fucking hassle. And then when you see the person, it's like, but he's just at the disco. How am I going to figure out who the fuck he is? Well, you better talk to this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Find out who one of them is and ask him who this is. And be like, fuck.
I don't have time for this.
Doesn't that seem like a lot of work?
You know that's going to happen. They're going to hire a bunch of people to do a lot of this contact.
They're going
to
do a real shitty
they're
job.
They're going to forge half of it because they don't want to do it.
I mean,
I hope they
really
just. I hope they forge it the other way to be safer.
So what's South Korea doing? They're shutting down bars and discos? Or are they shutting more down that down?
For 30 more days, yeah. At least the ones this partier went to.
Well, yeah. It seems like they
I don't think that's the answer.
Bars and discos isn't that big a deal. I mean, that is.
Well, but
that
still.
This ain't no disco crowd, no!
Are they closing them down because this incident happened and involves 1,500 people, or are they closing it down because the bars and discos are leading to the curve just shooting up?
I don't know. Sounds like this one partier is the problem.
Well, just fucking shoot him.
This guy raged.
Come on,
they got to shoot the 1,500 other people.
Who shoots
came
his relatives? Why can't he shoot this fucking guy? Jesus
Hey,
Christ.
What's the deal with Oon? Is he alive?
He's
is
fine.
He dead? He's totally
he's fine.
Cool.
Yeah, he's just fucking with us.
It's not a body double? I mean,
I don't think so. Young.
Are you sure he's fine?
Yeah, I have actual audio. They finally.
Thank you, Brandon.
They finally said that there was video of him. He emerged. There's still a bunch of theories on what happened. A lot of people think that he faked his death so he could bring out the traitors and kill them.
Oh, that's brilliant. Other I like people the way this guy thinks.
Other people thought he was legitimately sick and just getting help. And then
he could have had it and he was quarantining with his
Are you okay?
Pleasure crew or whatever.
Yes, his pleasure barrage of 2,000 women. But they showed a video of him. He came out on stage and he was just like,
psych!
That was
he wasn't dead.
It was a long setup.
I don't know if I really. Perfect. emphasized enough the story about the
Brigade.
Sure, Brigade that his father had had, you know, these 2,000 women or whatever that just take care of him sexually friends.
Was it 2,000 or 20,000?
It's 2,000 women.
Yeah, and they all have to be virgins, too. So they have to be checked out. That's weird, too.
What, do they hire T.I. to do it?
Why does he need them to be virgins so bad? It's like, you must take my dick as the first one ever!
Oh, gross.
Because it's so special!
And since small.
Oh, no.
Wait, 2,000. Let's say he's really into threesomes. So that's two.
Kim Young.
So he recites, what, every 3 years? Be,
be 1,000 threesomes.
I think it's overdoing it. That's a lot.
Well, but.
Let's say he likes 10 at a time. So.
The way the mourning works there, you go into mourning for 3 years when the great leader dies, and he canceled the Pleasure Brigade for the 3 years. Only starting it up after the 3 years are over, which I thought was one of the classiest things I've ever seen a world leader do.
It's pretty respectful.
And then when he introduced the Pleasure Brigade to Dennis Rodman, the only thing Dennis Rodman had to say was,
"I'm so happy."
Because you know that Rodman got at least 50 chicks from him every time he went there. That was just one big party for him. He got so drunk and just showed up for basketball games, did interviews with CNN, and banged a bunch of chicks in the Pleasure Brigade.
I want, because people have been so worried about this, Dee Snider's brat that was stuck in Peru is finally home. Thank God that brat and Dee Snider can shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from them for a long, long, long.
Yeah, you know what I didn't know? I thought, well, maybe, you know, I really wasn't thinking this, but I could have been thinking. A sympathetic person would have been thinking, well, maybe she was over there for something important and she just got trapped. You know, it just happened all at once. And it's like,
no,
she's on a spiritual retreat, which is like, fuck you and your spiritual retreat. You can just spiritual away for the next fucking 6 months.
With all that bitching, I got to say, the retreat probably didn't work out too well.
No, it doesn't seem like it did.
She should go back.
So let's see, there was another corona note. I really want to get into an interesting story. This just blew my mind this weekend, and it was one of these things I've been receiving, and I really didn't read. I just kind of thought it was bullshit. It just didn't seem real. Anyway, I read it on Friday, and then people were sending it to me on Saturday, and there's a lot of extra.
I can read it.
There's a lot of extracurricular comments with it, and it was the story from Reuters, and other people did the story too, that Woodstock happened in the middle of a pandemic. And I'm thinking, oh, really? 500,000 people got together in the middle of a pandemic. Well, I don't remember. I was 9 years old then. I don't remember the pandemic.
So, have you seen the Reuters update to it?
No.
All right.
Well, what's the update?
Well, so I don't know.
Reuters isn't the only one that did the story. And the Woodstock, the guys who said they hired extra medical personnel said one of their concerns was viruses.
The one the article that you sent me when it first came out, you know, this is true, what's going on, which is fine. But then now it's been updated to mostly true because it happened. When did Woodstock happen? August?
August. Yeah, it was officially. Okay, no, but there was a pandemic. Okay.
No, there was a pandemic.
That's sure. Why I thought it was weird. Like, Woodstock? But what I was confused about was,
boomer.
Was there really a pandemic in 1969? I was 9 years old. I remember it.
It was the racist Hong Kong flu.
Yeah, the Hong Kong influenza pandemic. It's called a pandemic. So I immediately text my sister, my brother. Do you remember this? No. My brother, of course, knew about it because he'd studied it, but he didn't remember it. Now, he was like 14 then. My sister would have been 17. They don't remember it. My sister was like, I have no recollection of this whatsoever.
You should have told your brother.
Go outside, nerd. Get out. Go.
But the pandemic existed before Woodstock. I think it was a little, it kind of suggested.
It's about a year.
Everybody knew there was a pandemic and people went to Woodstock anyway. Yeah. I mean, it made the Woodstock people sound like they were so, but they didn't even fucking, my sister didn't know. I bet 2/3 of the people there didn't know. Anyway, the point is,
you are fake news.
The Hong Kong, okay, just leave Woodstock out of it. Just forget Woodstock. Mm-hmm. There was a pandemic in 1969. It killed 100,000 Americans. It killed 1 million people in the world. Now, if you adjust for population, it would have killed today. What was the population in 1969? U.S. population.
Who knows?
I mean, I think we're talking about 250,000 people. I'll look it up. Population.
So in 1969, the world population was only 3.6 billion, but I got to find
202 million.
202 million in the U.S.
69.
Okay, so it would have been close to 200,000.
Okay,
so that's a lot of people.
Yeah, think of how many lives they could have saved if they socially distanced.
Yeah, no kidding. What's up with this peace and love festival where all these boomers are getting together and no one gets hurt? But actually, what they're doing is spreading this Hong Kong flu and then going home to various parts of the United States and spreading it all throughout the entire United States, causing the deaths of 100,000 United States Americans. And if you adjust that for today, that's like 200,000.
My point is, okay, so why didn't people go apeshit in 1969? Why didn't people lose their shit? 100,000
people with their
dying.
Head in the sand.
Well, I mean, should they have shut down the country? Why didn't they shut down? Did they consider shutting down the country? I'm just wondering because I don't know anything about it.
I think it all leads to the whole idea of people being panicked about this on both sides.
Panicked about what?
About the coronavirus. Although I will say that.
Well, you said on both sides.
Well, people, like we were talking about earlier, people being very panicked about the economy and people being very panicked about the virus.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just more panic in general now about everything.
I just didn't tell anybody.
I want to say this about the economy, though. I just don't think there's much discussion about the economy. How many times have you heard Gretchen Whitmer explain that we're going to go through some serious pain ahead?
I don't really care what she has to say, but I think she's been called.
I mean, her approval rating is high, and people think she's doing a fantastic job. And I'm not saying she isn't, but I'm just saying there's very little talk about the economy. And by the way, this business of closing till May 28th, you know, people say, oh, that's so brave. She cares so much about our health. But every day you're not open is costing a lot of fucking money. And 2 weeks is a lot of money. I mean, it's Michigan's going to have some reckoning.
Oh, yeah.
Major reckoning. I mean, and this what pisses me off about this is I knew eventually the economy would, you know, it couldn't go on like this forever. And all I said was, just nothing like 2009. I'll be fine if it's nothing. But now we're going to have, I should have said nothing like 1933, it looks like.
You don't think the recovery is going to be better than it was then?
1933?
Yeah.
I hope it is, because that took, really, we didn't recover till the war. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll be better than 1933. But
just because most of this country was on a lot of really good footing before this fucking virus came.
But the...
I mean, we got to ask the Dr. V-shaped Anderson at the... no, I know, they're talking about V-shaped, the V-shaped, not with
economists
W.
are now saying, no, yeah. It's much worse than that. It's not going to just bounce back. It's very complicated, and...
I just open everything up right now. Let's do it.
Here's another.
Don't be economic girly man.
Here's another debacle. Tourism. Disaster. Hawaii. Unemployment. 34% in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. 34%. They had 30,000 people.
Maui time.
I couldn't believe this number. They had 30,000 people a day coming into Hawaii. They now have 750 a day. Coming to Hawaii.
Where are these 750 people? What are they up to?
It's kind of
what I thought.
Adventures.
And but this is a big, 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 big problem because the food industry, the dining out business,
hospitality,
13% of their economy, and jobs are disappearing. And not only that, people that are working, their wages are dying because they don't have a lot of customers. And maybe they're not tipping as much. I don't know.
But you know what you could do? You go on a cruise starting in August. Carnival's booking for
August.
Well, we booked Brandon. You want to go, Brandon?
You know what? I think everybody's going to need a vacation. So why don't we plan it now? Get that thing going.
All right.
Let's do it.
the other interesting conversation that my brother brought up was the cost of saving lives.
Yeah.
Which is... I've sort of had this in my head about why I'm concerned, and I am concerned about people dying and people being compromised and you know, how this is handled. And, you know, I was as scared as anybody was. I said, you know, honestly, though, I think I was more scared by the reaction than like my own. Generally, I don't think I get freaked out really easily.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear about, you can't help but go, fucking hey, man, and every person that dies, it's like, it's a big story. And the first one, anyone would get it, or any celebrity would get it, was like, bang, 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 bang. And
well, yeah.
So I don't think it was necessarily in my personality to be wigged out, but I think I got wigged out because it was like, wow, it's, you know, it's coming, and, you know, oh my God, this is gonna be terrible, and oh my God, are we fucking up, and we better shut down, and we shut down, and we're gonna open up too early, and the curve, and the curve's not flattening, and we gotta flatten the curve, and, you know, and on and on and on. It's like, it's, that's all we talk about. So I've always felt, and I feel this
true.
Way.
I've seen that. I've watched that.
I feel this way now more than ever, is that nobody really talked about, and it's starting to come now, I see it, about the cost of doing what we've been doing and the cost of continuing to do it. And so my brother actually brought up the cost of saving lives. It's in public health. It's
I'm
something,
so in love with my brother right now.
It's something that constantly comes up, mm-hmm. because you could have a colonoscopy every year.
No, thanks.
And you would be healthier.
You can have one every year.
No, you would be healthier. But they can't afford to give everyone a colonoscopy every year because it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. You could, instead of having mammograms every year, you could MRI women every year. And you would have a better picture. You would have, a more effective treatment or an effective preventative treatment. But it costs too much. So we don't do it. So, you know, it's the same thing with, and the reason this shouldn't be such a foreign concept is because companies do it all the time. They go, yeah, that bumper's really fucked up. That's going to kill some people, but let's see how many it's going to kill. It's going to kill about 800 people. Well, at the cost of the lawsuit, which I say it's about $2 million a person, versus recalling all the bumpers, they won't recall the bumpers because they go, recalling all the bumpers costs more than the lawsuits to pay the 800 people. Sure. I mean, I'm not lying about that. That's just the way it's done.
Isn't it called actuaries? Isn't that?
Yeah, actuaries do that. Absolutely. And in this case, it's just like, no, it's death, it's dying, and we know it's happening, it's coronavirus, and it's just all actuarial activity is just completely denied and thrown out.
What can you do? Medicine's not a science.
Well, that's because no public official wants to say that, because no
they
public
don't.
Official wants to say, oh, it's okay to kill old people and poor people and people in prisons.
But it's their job to, if we're spending too much money saving how many lives?
No disagreement. I understand that.
And I don't know, you know, nobody knows what
that was always the question is how many deaths are you okay with?
I'm not okay with any deaths. I mean, it's the question. The
but
question
I mean, that's
kind
the question
of
that needed to be, well, not really. I'm just saying.
I mean, if you're working at GM, it's not a trap. They do that. They have to do that all the time. It's their job and they do it very dispassionately. But if you're somebody who wants to get votes, I guess you say, oh, look how many people I saved. Mm-hmm. And eventually people go, look at the fucked up economy. Yep. They will be doing it. And they'll go, but I saved lives. He's a murderer. He wants to kill people for the stock market.
But you know who can't vote? Dead people. So who cares?
Well, but they have family members.
Nobody
wants anyone to die.
Of course they don't. But that decision needs to be made at some point.
Right. But there is a cost. There is a cost to saving lives, and there's a cost that no one minds spending to save a life, but there's a cost that people will not, and the medical community. This is what bothers me about, you don't believe science. Science does the same thing. They say, that's too expensive. We would save more lives if we did a colonoscopy every fucking year, but we can't afford it. Too expensive. So we're going to just do what will work for most people, which is every 10 years or every 5 years, or if you have a polyp will do it every 3 years.
Gross. Yeah.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
It's a bad example, but it's just.
You know who we need right now? We need the good doctor to be in charge of this.
You didn't want me to tell the truth. You only wanted me to support your position, even though it's wrong.
We need the good doctor right now. All right. Goodbye, Facebook.
Okay.
I only knew how to stop this stuff.
I have to say, too, you know, we've talked about Gretchen Whitmer. I just, you know, when I saw that the churches were opening, it's like, really? I thought we were so worried about crowds. But, you know, being involved in a restaurant makes me say, we could do as good a job as a church. We could do a better job than a church. A church has everyone going at once. A restaurant has, you know, only X number of people going, and you take out all these tables, and it's certainly as safe, if not safer. Mm. And a church makes money for one guy.
God?
Yeah, I don't know how many people really. Anyway, Okay, what a
mess. Well, my only problem, we know we're going to get to that point. It just depends where.
And the big three, too. You know, the big three. I don't believe the big three is safer than our restaurant.
Well, but they have more money, and they give more money.
No, although, I know, but I mean, what is it? So, in other words, if you're big enough, you can reopen, and they'll say you're safe.
That's how this has always worked, isn't it?
It is, but so don't tell me about saving lives, then. Well, I mean, that's not, I mean, in other words, saving lives matters when I'm talking about this, but not about that.
I don't like how there's no middle ground. You know, there's people that are like, we need to be shut down till there's a vaccine and everybody has it, and that's going to be 18 months. And then there's the people that, we never should have closed anything down ever. It's like, well
okay, first of all,
we need to know more about it.
We could not shut down for 18 months. That's not survivable.
I know. But wasn't it prudent to shut some stuff down?
Honestly,
I mean, we were both saying, can't everybody just stop for 3 weeks and self-quarantine and it'll be gone?
If we had really done it, there wouldn't be so many cases.
Other countries could have done
it. I think we did.
I just want to say, can we all get along?
This is the end.
You know, when you look at the numbers like 2 weeks ago, it's like, wait, we've been shut down 5 weeks and there were still this many deaths a day. How can that be? We're not really shut down. And then nursing homes and prisons. And then you find out all these cases are coming from people at home. Well, they're getting it somewhere.
Is that happening here?
They were talking about New York, I think. Yeah. 66% of the new cases were from people who were staying home.
New York's so different, though, because they live so much on top of each other and share.
But you're supposed to be staying home. Yeah, if you're not staying at home, or if you're, I'm so claustrophobic.
Do what I want.
I'm going to have people over.
Do what I want.
And, you know, I'll tell you this much. This is just a small example. Maybe other people have seen similar things, or maybe this is it. Maybe this is just a very separate, unique thing. There's somebody that I know who had to kind of boot someone out of their life.
The guy I know.
Because they had a son who was doing a lot of partying.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And, you know, was going here and there and, yeah, let's meet over there and let's party at your basement and this and that. And the feeling was that, I don't want to be around you because you're around him, your son.
Stupid idiot. Get the out of here.
And I guess the mom was complaining about it, too. She was like, I don't feel safe because he's doing all this stuff and he's around all these kids. And I don't know, one of them might have it and he's going to bring it back home. And I don't think 20-year-olds are that worried about it.
Get out of my house.
No, we saw that with all the spring breakers partying going on.
I don't know, I was just thinking, I just hope that's an isolated case. That's just one group of people. I hope that's not happening with a lot of people's kids.
Yeah, it probably is.
How do you keep the numbers? How do you keep these fucking cases flowing? There's got to be a lot of people that are just not staying at home enough.
Don't you like my idea of just opening everything, just letting everybody do whatever they want at this point? Because people won't. There's a lot of people that just won't.
Here's the thing. It's too bad that
we can stop arguing about it then.
It's too bad that we couldn't educate everyone well up front of this and say, okay, here's what we're going to have to be doing. We're going to have to be always staying a certain distance apart. We're going to have to wear masks. But the first thing I heard was don't wear a mask. And now people are still arguing about masks.
Well, you also heard, it's 15 today and it's going to be zero tomorrow and it'll be gone. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation.
I heard the other day, by the way, that the warm weather is going to help eradicate the coronavirus.
It doesn't eradicate.
Is that true?
This is what's funny about that. That is mainly the big press conference they had where he took that, President Trump, meaning like, hey, why don't we just get the sunlight inside the body, which turned into the drinking bleach.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when he said earlier, hey, it warms up, we might get rid of this thing.
Well, it's,
which was stupid to say, but
no, it's not, because typically viruses become inactive.
They don't travel through humidity as much. They don't travel as well.
And UV light inactivates. It doesn't necessarily kill them, but it inactivates it, slows it down. That's right. They had that big press conference, but of course the focus goes on the crazy shit he said after that.
Yeah, for 3 or 4 days it goes on and on and on. And it's stupid,
but can't we
just rag him for one news cycle and move on?
No. because he'll be out the next day and it'll say something equally as weird.
Well, can't we focus on the weird thing he says the next day instead of... I mean, that was when Dr. Burke said, you know, I'm surprised we're still talking about this. And, you know, she was trying to be nice because she works for him. She's like, hey, he was just musing. And he was kind of musing. He was sort of riffing, I guess. But, you know, you can't... This is what is one of my problems with this president is, you know, have a direct message. Have one message. Get it out there. And don't do all this and that and here and there and everywhere. Yep. It's that's part of the problem of standing up there for 2 hours in front of an open mic.
Get him out of here.
And he's just not a politician. Politicians stay on message. They, you know, and that's, I guess that's why people, certain people like him and certain people don't. But
I will say I'm very excited.
He's been
excited.
His own worst enemy of late.
I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
I know you are.
For May 12th, I'm very excited for the Blue Angels. They're going to do a flyover Detroit to support frontline workers.
Oh, so we can bunch up and watch it?
Which I thought Duggan said, no, don't come here. But now...
Well, where are people going to all bunch up here?
I mean, oh, I'm going to go bunch with people. I want to see that. I love flyovers. Don't you love flyovers? Everyone loves flyovers.
Yeah, I think they're cool.
So neat.
But I sat and watched bunching up people. I don't want anything to do with people that bunch up all the time.
I sat and watched a 20-minute video in flight with the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds when they flew over New York. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I watching this?
Well, people were nuts about it. They were risking the virus
to watch
it. Cool.
I kind of understand it. It's worth the risk.
But, you know,
Blue Angels rule, man.
Here's the thing.
I'm flying one of those.
Why did it take so long? Why is it so hard to train this country to do anything? Why? Because, you know, first of all, we have to argue about it for 2 years.
And then, America is going to win.
And now, you know, people have to be so recalcitrant about wearing a mask. Oh, I thought we didn't have to wear a mask. Well, now we have to wear a mask. I'm not wearing a mask. And, you know, I'm not taking a vaccine. It seems that nobody ever wants to even just kind of try to agree on something.
Is it that hard to wear a mask?
No, it's not that hard to wear a mask. I really
being so stupid.
You're stupid.
No, you're stupid.
You're stupid.
You know how long it took me to get used to wearing a mask? Once. I wore it once, and I was like, yeah. That wasn't that hard. If it's a matter of not getting a stupid thing.
My dad does stupid not want fucking to wear, my dad does not want to wear a mask at all. I was like, you're going to die then, because...
does he go out much?
Yeah.
Does he bunch up?
Yes,
is he a buncher-upper?
You know, we were talking...
Does he glob up?
We were talking to him today about... he was, you know, grousing about being at home. I said, how was the last 60 days any different from your previous 60 days? Did you really go out that much? Are you going to nightclubs and discotheques? He never did much anyway, but he's not a baby. He does not like to be told what to do, and I understand that.
A lot of people
I don't like being told what to do. No one likes to be told what to do.
America isn't just all about you!
Well, there's a difference between being told what to do and taking good advice. And, you know, in this case, on the one hand, the government's going to save you. Just stay at home for the next till they get a vaccine. You know, I'm not really the kind of person that's going to buy that.
But you also said, you know, he said not to wear a mask. Now he wants me to wear a mask.
Stupid government.
Well, that was stupid. Why did they tell people not to wear masks? That was dumb.
No, you're never allowed to change your viewpoint. Or anything based on new information.
These are the people that we're told are science. Listen to science. Follow science. They always know the right thing.
You know,
and then they say one thing and they say another. And people want to wear masks. I'm telling them not to.
Fun thing about science is if you keep doing tests and learning more about something, you can change
your viewpoint. Wearing a mask?
I mean, they used to
but then again, you got to also think maybe they decided that they should throw out that narrative. That way people don't panic buy them up, even though people ended up did panic buying them up. But.
Yeah, but then
maybe,
but that's
that was their goal.
So they're playing with our minds by telling us the wrong thing because they're worried about other people having the mask. If they just said that, look, you should wear a mask, but right now the first responders come first. That's one thing. Because people bought the fucking masks anyway. People knew better. But the people that were on the fence are going, hey, fuck you. You told me not to wear a mask. Now you tell me to wear a mask. You know what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. I don't believe in science.
Isn't the other part of it, though, is now they know a little bit more about how it's transmitted? And how longer it stays in the air when you talk or when you
cough.
Most
people don't pay that much attention.
Well,
to that
no,
stuff.
But you want to know why it changes. More information. Instead, everyone wants to see a big conspiracy.
It doesn't sound like it really changed. They just wanted first responders to have the masks. And they knew the masks were going to be an issue.
Okay.
That's what it sounded like. I mean, they really said,
I don't know.
We just discovered you should wear a mask and we're really sorry for the misinformation. They didn't say that.
The science has been crystal clear.
And you know, a lot of people wore masks. And a lot of people didn't believe that and bought masks and wore masks. And
now look who's laughing now. Right. But you can't see them because their mouth's covered.
No, they don't believe in science.
Nope.
So there you go. Stupid fucking virus. I'm tired of talking about
it. Just open everything up. Why are they taking the TCF center down, the field hospital? Can't they just keep it open for the second, third, and fourth waves that are coming?
The COBO?
Yeah.
I guess they just were never that busy.
It was a 1,000-bed facility they created, and they never saw over 20 patients at a time.
So why not just leave it open, though, just in case? Are we in a big hurry to load up the COBO Center again? We're going to have the auto show in June like we're supposed
here's
to?
You know, we now, with all the knowledge we have, shouldn't we be able to do a little better this time?
Well, yeah, if we stock up.
No, I mean, if we stay away from people, if we wear masks, if we do the right thing, you know, if we don't
not
have giant concerts, if we don't have spring breaks, if we don't do stupid things, we ought to do a lot better.
Yeah, if we don't go to Woodstock.
Yeah, fuckers. I don't care.
The other fun thing is you see the amount of people that are renouncing their U.S. citizenship right now?
Why?
The Treasury Department publishes the names of individuals who renounce their citizenship, so it's very easy to keep track of it. So the first quarter, here's you can see the moving average, but let's see, the last big one was 2017 quarter one had 2,365 people renounce their citizenship. This last quarter was the highest they've seen in at least a decade, 2,909 people.
You know, I'd like to have that list.
Point?
I think that list is just the list of major dicks. I mean, renouncing your citizenship, what does that do?
I don't know.
You know, do people just like saying the most outrageous thing they can? Like,
yeah, but these people are actually going through with it.
You know, Governor Whitmer's a fascist. She's a Nazi. It's like, you know, you have no credibility now because you're saying crazy stuff.
Yeah.
She's not a Nazi. She may be wrong. She may be right, but she's not a fucking Nazi.
Stop it.
Crazy. I'm telling you, if you want to amuse yourself, just and you have the capacity to be amused by these things, look at Sean Windsor's article and look at Nolan Finley's article and read the comments. It's almost like the same people are on both stories.
Stupid government. It's fun to talk to Sean about the comments because he actually will read them. So if you want Sean to hear from me, comment on his stories.
I did. The story was interesting, and it did seem like it was almost written with the help of Whitmer's office, because he was saying all the right things, quote unquote.
This is a guy who was just furloughed too.
But I don't know how they can play college football if the campus isn't.
No,
if the school isn't in
they
session.
If school's not
or
open.
They're taking desperate measures to keep people healthy, and classes are 1/3 full. How can you tell people to go out and tackle each other and spit and sweat all over each other? You can't do
that. There's no. I will be utterly surprised if there's a season. There's just no way. I mean, at least in 2020, it might be in spring of 2021.
I don't know. I think they'll get it in somehow. The money's too important. And you know what else they said in that story that made me laugh? They said, you can't ask an athlete to do anything more than a student does. It's like, ha!
What? They do it all the
time. Are you joking?
They do it all the time.
They already work, 60-hour weeks for nothing, for no pay?
They're also
what
not,
a student does that?
They're also not, until recently, allowed to profit off their own name and likeness.
Well, they can't even do that yet. Technically, can they?
Didn't they push it forward? I thought they pushed it forward.
Well, yeah, now they're going to push it forward because now they know they're going to lose a season, and so they need to do something to make it look less ridiculous when they so desperately go after that revenue.
That'll be the
interesting. It's a pro sport. It's not a college sport. It's a joke.
That'll be the interesting question. How much money does this season really mean to them? Would they bother paying them?
Yeah, I think they would. I think there'll be
well, you're
going to
turn a
movement.
Profit.
Well, here's the thing.
What if they say, we'll pay you if you can't go to school?
It looks to me like colleges and college athletics are going to take a big stripping. They're going to have to be cut. They're going to have to.
Your mom
no
goes to college.
They've already lost $1 billion.
Yep. Everybody has to cut.
So anyway, let's talk a little true crime, a little Richard. A few other things, but first, as you know, our original studio sponsor, DealsInTheD.com, is open and honored to help with all of your automotive needs. And in fact, Jeeps are trucks are selling like crazy.
Good, because they're good cars.
The F-150s, and you know, I was surprised to see where their numbers were. They were actually like a 1% behind or 1% ahead or something. It's like, wow, well, Yeah, of course they are. Because people, sure, when their lease runs out, they have to get a car.
It's really good deals, too.
Or if you need a car, you need a car. Yeah, they do have great deals. And you can skip payments, and you can not pay interest for 84 months. And, I mean, all kinds of crazy things because they want you to buy a car. Because they've been shut down. So we're hoping to make some of that up. Our friends at Zot Ford, Zot Chrysler Jeep, Zot Dodge Ram, and Zot Toyota consider themselves social distancing and disinfecting experts. The showrooms are closed, but they've worked out all this VIP pickup, just like we've worked out carry out at Mesa. You know, it takes a little time, but it's working out.
Necessity is the mother of something.
Invention.
Oh, yeah.
And so pickup and delivery, they're working it out, the disinfecting, the social distancing. Just go to dealsnad.com, choose your favorite make and model, work out your payments online. Appraise your trade online. How do you get a hold of Bentley, by the way? Where's Bentley in this?
Who knows? I haven't even heard from him.
Is he still on the planet? Is he allowed to leave the house yet?
Hey, Brandon, text him the Zoom number. See if he pops in. We'll ask.
Can he deliver a car?
I'm sure he could. If you can get a hold of him, why not?
I love my new Expedition, by the way. It's a nice car. It really is.
The brand new Explorer that they redesigned is fucking tits.
Well, I haven't even seen that.
That's our other car. Do you ever do this too when you buy a car and you kind of go, well, you might not, but in the past, just where you're like, I don't know if I want to go for that package or this package in between, and then you choose the one and you go, damn it, I wish I would have paid more for the better package.
I never do. The last car I got was Gabar's car. He said, it's got 5,000 miles. And I said, I'll just take that.
I know. And I just so wish I would have gotten the Limited.
Bentley delivered the Expedition for me to drive and was like, hey, this is a good car. I like it. I'm fine with it. It's got satellite radio. It's a stereo on wheels, which is what all cars are to me. Stereos on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So did I want another color? No. I don't care what the color is. I don't look at the color. I'm inside the car.
Yeah. I never understood people that are obsessed with the color of their car.
Some people are really into
it. I know. I don't get it, but I don't.
Well, anyway, you can make those choices at dealsnad.com, or if you call Zot and you need to check out or get a new vehicle or your lease is ending. Some of you Zot leases have got to be ending. Mm-hmm. Plus, you can imagine deals are crazy, like 0% financing for 84 months. People are able to skip payments. Zero due leases for under $200 a month. Plus, right now, with several dealerships still closed, all Zot dealerships can help renew your lease or even get you out of your lease early with no penalties. Check it out. Surf their massive inventory at dealsnad.com. And if you're a man facing divorce, you need Adam, the American Divorce Association.
I heard that, Brandon.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
With Adam, you can get divorced. Did he
direct
a fart right into the microphone?
No, I didn't. You heard it?
I heard something.
So loud.
Seems okay, like, I'll remove it in post-production.
I do believe the trajectory was headed right for the microphone. Somehow.
No one's even going to know what you're talking about.
It's going to be boosted, and you're going to boost it. But the first thing you're going to do is go find that. You've already probably logged it, and you're going to boost it as loud as you can.
With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front line need to get divorced, too. So if you're a man and you're looking at this grisly situation, you're concerned about your house, your kids, your visitation, your primary custody, whatever.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is what Adam does. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
You know who needs Adam right now?
Who?
Ray J. Did you see that story about Ray J?
Oh, yeah. I saw that he's getting a divorce.
Yeah, from his wife of 4 years, Princess Love. That's her name.
Okay.
Last November, they got into a public fight in Las Vegas. Love said Ray J, quote, abandoned her in a hotel at 9 months pregnant after he booked a separate room for himself to, quote, get some space.
She fucked Ray J and now she's famous.
And they haven't reconciled since.
Wow.
What's wrong with that? The guy needed some space, man.
Well, I'm glad he is understanding that a 9-month pregnant woman might have some tough moments. He sounds like a real selfish asshole.
Talking about he needed some space, too. Who cares how her pregnancy's going?
Getting a separate room.
How fucking childish.
I want to watch something on pay-per-view, bitch. You're making too much racket bitching about that baby. Stop bitching about that damn baby.
Two things on Twitter I wanted to
point out. Trying to watch a movie.
Number one, did you see Trudy flying a kite?
I did not.
Here's a picture of her. She wrote, why don't you just go fly a kite? And there she is running in her backyard, flying a kite!
Hey, how about that?
Why don't you just go fly a kite with a hole in it? And then the other one is, you know, you talk about the
flying. Why don't you go fly a kite with a hole in it?
I have to admit, flying a kite is kind of fun.
Oh, it's great. I was talking to her off the air about it, and Because, you know, Charlotte wants to do that stuff, but she doesn't understand that you need to avoid trees and kind of keep moving with the kite. It doesn't fly itself.
Charlotte.
So I had to cut down a kite from a tree not too long ago. We always talk about where somebody can see something and two people can have a different opinion of the very, very same thing.
Yeah.
And I think today's example is the Super Bowl replay on Fox 2. They ran the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl.
Right.
And Brandon and I were talking before the show started. I said, I'm going to leave it on just to see how quick Madden and Summerall mess up.
Oh.
But I think it was going into the first break. There was an error where Summerall gave the wrong time left and Madden kept talking about the play as they're supposed to go into a break. Well, Dan Miller, I love Dan, tweeted out about how he's loving the replay on Fox. Summerall was so good and measured, never rushed. Voice made you think of big game, whether it was 4 p.m. on Sundays or the Super Bowl style.
That's because they did big games. It's not because their voice means big game. I mean,
yeah.
So
I think there are people, some people, who create that feeling. But some people, it's like Joe Buck means big game to me. It's not because Great. Joe Buck's voice just means big game. I don't feel that way about his voice. Howard Cosell, on the other hand, always meant big to me. It's just he was so dramatic. He has such a unique sound.
But it's so good. So damn good.
Listen to this information dump from that man that you just heard right there.
That man.
Tom Mazzaway commented. That was his last Super Bowl. There was nobody like him. What a duo he and Madden were. What a stable of voices we grew up listening to. Kurt Gowdy, Jack Buck, Keith Jackson, Dick Enberg, just to name a few. Howard Cosell was the straw that stirred that drink. Take me back, ellipses.
Oh, that was what Mega Man said.
Mother effer.
Take me back.
Take me back. I saw Mega Man on Facebook.
A lot of anything that's old.
I ran into him. He's doing something relating to radio. It's not radio, though. I don't remember what it was. I just remember thinking, I wonder what that is exactly. But that comment about Take Me Back was so funny because Mega Man, when DFN started, for some reason, Mega Man was like their biggest personality. Was it just because he was named Mega Man?
Probably. That was a huge game on Nintendo at the time.
The name was easy to remember. But anyway, I had the Mega Man on, and he was on at night, wasn't he? When their signal was terrible. So, you really it was hard to listen to him. But this guy called up and... he was talking about playing high school football for some reason. And he goes, take me back. Take me back to that championship game or that playoff game that you played in at Stevenson. It was an epic game. Geez. I don't remember. Fucking remember. Take me back.
I'm going to go back. That's
Marcus funny. Would ask me for years if I... You remember Mega Man? Because, I was working at 105.1 for a bit. Mega Man. I don't know who that is. And I would try to Google it and I couldn't find it because obviously Mega Man, but eventually I came across it and I finally learned, I don't remember him on the radio at all, but Marcus was either a fan or hated him. I don't know.
I'm replying to Tom's tweet, by the way. I'm just going to write, nothing compares to somewhere else 2010 Cotton Bowl. And that might be.
Damn it.
Do you remember that?
What did he do?
It was his last
broadcast. Was he bombed? Was he hammered?
It was his last broadcast.
Oh, no, it wasn't when he was a drunk. He was a fucking drunk for the first 20 years he was on the air.
He just should not have been doing that. That was after he was done with CBS and Fox and all that, but he always did the Cotton Bowl, and so he did it.
Damn it.
And he was just out of it, right?
Oh, it's kind of sad until you remember that he wanted to do it.
Are there some clips we could listen to?
Yeah,
take me back!
Sean Belizean and I used to play it for Tom all the time because he loved Summerall so much. Sean pointed out how Summerall's
how can you love Pat Summerall that much? He was the most pedestrian guy ever. I think his drinking was the most exciting thing about him. Didn't he piss himself at a couple games?
No one gives a shit.
Well, Tom would know. Tom might also. We used to argue about this one. I know, Brandon, about Joe Tessitore. He loves Joe Tessitore.
He's gone from Monday Night Football.
Blown out. Him and
Booger McFarlane.
Good, because they were terrible. They were awful and terrible.
Manus thought he was the best.
He loved Joe, but he didn't. He would always say that Booger could use some more work, some more refining.
Well, he loved Joe. My theory on him loving Tessitore is because he would always do the show if he wanted.
Oh, okay.
He wanted a broadcaster on there. So,
is he gonna be in the rap?
Should we just call Tom?
Boy, the rap sure have been ghosted on the rap.
Yeah,
you fired.
I wonder who he's had on. There's been such great sports news to talk about.
Well, that was his Trump impersonation.
Do you think he covered the? Earl Thomas orgy on the
rap? No, I don't.
What?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Next.
We have anything for the Hall Financial Hotline? Are we going to call the barber in Owosso?
We could call him.
Yep. He's available today.
It's his day off. They've been
That story just, I'm really kind of worn out on it now. Because,
why?
Well, there's all these protesters in the parking lot. They've given him two tickets, I guess.
Yeah.
Not just one, two. And apparently the state police are going to step in now. And I don't know if they're going to close the store or what they're going to do.
Why bother?
But meanwhile, the parking lot is full of people who are bunching up.
Oh, great.
A bunch of buncher uppers.
Great.
And it's just, maybe that's why they're kind of getting weary of it. But the guy does 15 haircuts or 15 hours a day or something crazy like that.
Oh, he must be making a ton of loot.
Yeah. Anyway, David Hall and Hall Financial sponsor the Hall Financial Hotline, and they're doing more refis now than they have in 7 years. That's because interest rates are so crazy. They say if you haven't refinanced in the last year, you should take a look at it because they might be able to save you substantial money. And people are saving money. We had the one guy a couple weeks ago saved over $300 a month. I mean, how can that not intrigue you? So here's what you do. Go to David Hall Financial. David Hall Financial. Wait, DavidHallMortgage.com/DroneMike.
Why do we always
do this?
Nice
to have this in the copy.
Why do we always do this?
Yeah, it's DavidHallMortgage.com/DroneMike. Or you can go to our webpage, click the link, fill out the form. They get back to you pronto. 248-308-5000 if you like the phone call. And you'll be looking at lower payments, better options, and more personal attention. From Hall Financial, an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1467435. All righty.
Do you want to call? You want to call him now?
Barber? Yeah, the barber. Yeah, we should call him. What a mess!
I will now proceed to entangle the entire area.
This is how that song begins. Never heard that before.
It's a haircut.
Are we really
needs
worried
a haircut.
About? Are we really worried about a barber, a one man shop?
No, I don't think so, but. Slippery slope.
Cut my hair.
Well, I said that about the churches. If they're going to let the churches go, because you say anything else, they go, man, it's a pandemic. It's not all rules don't apply. Well, why is the church so important then?
I thought it was funny. I don't know if you ever saw the noise where people were like, oh, they're closing churches down, but here comes Ramadan. Are they really going to lay the law down on Muslims? And sure enough, no, they didn't. And secondly, there's a story.
They did that just to make those people mad, by the way.
There was a story about how they all just stayed home anyway. I don't know.
Well, why would Ramadan be any different?
It's not. If you're going to do it for one religion, you're going to do it for all of them.
So why didn't they do it?
No, they did. They just let them carry on the way they want, but they responded by not. I know what goes on with Ramadan.
I have no idea. I don't even know what's done on Ramadan.
I just thought it was funny immediately. It's like, what about that? Or what about this? Because no one can ever
if it hasn't happened yet, do you really have to get all excited about it?
Yes, people do. But no, I'm not worried about Carl. Anybody remember his wife's name?
Caroline?
I think he jams out to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wouldn't like this song, though, because it's about a guy that almost cut his hair. He wants people that cut their hair.
That's true. Oh, Carl and his wife are blowing us off now? It's too big for us. I think she took
needs a haircut.
I can let some dude cut my hair.
He'll probably accidentally rub his nads on your elbow.
Do you guys have a favorite Trump drop, by the way?
God, I don't know. They're all great.
They're really good.
It's like picking your favorite child.
I like this one.
Oh boy,
that's a good one. The really silly ones are great. Like, what's he doing up there?
Yeah, that's a great one. It's so clean, too. I was always a big fan of,
Or, they're losers.
God, yeah.
I love She Would Not Be My First Choice. That was my favorite for a long time. Not because I want to rag on women, but it's just, first of all, any female you can say it about.
It's a man, yeah.
Huh.
Huh.
or he can say it about.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
Once again, sounds, very, very clean.
He sounds so sincere, too, doesn't he?
Are you okay?
I think he's incredibly sincere.
All right.
We have to protect Thomas Edison.
Moving along like crazy. Aaron sent me an article on Mark Lanegan.
Mark Lanegan again?
Are you familiar with Mark Lanegan again?
I am not familiar with Mark Lanegan again.
Mark Lanegan again was in the Screaming Trees.
Oh, okay.
Were you familiar with this?
Yeah, oh well, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yep, yep.
They were big.
Mm-hmm. Sub Pop, right? They were big Sub Pop.
Yeah, I think they were Sub Pop. And he gave an interview.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He gave an interview to Spin Magazine.
This is easily their best known song because I think it's on the single soundtrack.
God, what a great soundtrack.
Hey.
You know what's a great soundtrack, by the way?
Boomer.
And I had the movie on, and I just noticed it. And then I watched the credits at the end. I was like, holy fuck. Remember the movie Children of Men?
Yeah, yeah, great movie. Clive Owen. Yeah, I love that movie.
Wow, that's there's some really cool bands on that soundtrack. I was really surprised.
I want to see it now.
Yeah, and I can't even remember it except for they played Bring on the Lucy by John Lennon over the closing credits. But there were other great ones, too.
Let's see. Wait, this is a soundtrack. Who cares about the songs? Yeah, Tomorrow Never Knows.
Yeah, the Beatles. But it's not by the Beatles. It's by somebody else.
Yeah, by Junior Parker, whoever that is. Deep Purple's
Hush. Hush, great song.
Oh, there's an Ocean by Donovan.
Yeah.
What else is on here?
It's all over the map.
King Crimson.
Yeah, King Crimson. Wait, what song is it?
The Court of King Crimson.
Yeah, The Court of King Crimson. Oh, my God, what a wild song. Robert Fripp used to be the coolest guitarist. And he's still around. I saw him on this Bowie doc, and it's like, he looks like an old man now. Looks like an old professor or something, but he still can play. He still can rock.
Let's hear that song.
It's perfect for the scene it's in.
A rock and roll!
I mean, it sounds kind of scary.
Is it haunting?
Yes, it's haunting.
Like Mad World?
And then it gets into the lyrics, and it's like, oh, what weird shit is this all about? It's like about, well, you have to hear the lyrics. The rusty chains of prison moons are shattered. I feel like I should be at the Renaissance Festival immediately. The tournament's begun. The purple piper plays his tune. The choir softly sing.
Yeah!
I'm feeling no electricity for some reason.
Yeah.
But here comes the hook is awesome.
Is this Tull-esque? Jethro Tull-esque?
Yeah, it's kind of Tull-esque. It's sort of prog rock.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that.
I was not a big prog rock fan, but I have to admit, I liked some King Crimson. I like me some Yes. I like me some Genesis. Some cool. There was some interesting stuff there.
Did you know the Claypool Lennon Delirium covered this song?
The Crimson...
Les Claypool and Sean Lennon.
The Crimson Court?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
They also covered Tomorrow Never Knows. They actually had a pretty good cover of it. I mean, there's a badass rhythm section on that song.
I'll jump ahead. Who sings in this band? Is it Les or is it Sean Lennon?
Sean Lennon sings.
I thought it was, or is it all instrumental?
You mean this song?
Yeah.
Of course, I haven't heard Sean's version. Is this?
The bass is going to be really high.
Of course.
Awesome. I love that weirdo.
They played here. They were, God, just about 6 months ago.
Primus.
Are you talking about
Primus concerts? Or them? Because Primus had
Claypool Lennon.
I think Primus had a big tour they had to cancel, just like everybody else.
Is it Lennon Claypool or Claypool Lennon?
Claypool Lennon.
Okay, thank you. Good. That's appropriate.
So Screaming Trees. How do we get this far? Yeah.
Okay, so Mark Lanegan has got a new album, and he wants to talk about it, and they're talking about some general stuff, like he had a really screwed up youth, and he was stuck in a heroin daze for a long time, and he was buddies with Kurt Cobain, And the day Kurt Cobain died, apparently he tried to call Lanigan a bunch of times. Lanigan was like, I'll just call him back.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, can't blame him.
You know, it's not like Cobain would pick up every time for him.
No.
So fuck that.
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
But, of course, he feels bad. And so a lot of people said the same thing about Lane Staley. You know, oh, I should have done something.
Lane was beyond help.
He would not do anything. And reading about that guy in his final year, oh, my God, it's just awful. It's like, I wish he died sooner.
Yeah.
He had no fucking teeth.
Yeah, more people shouldn't have answered the phone.
They were talking about him singing at this one, I think they were doing something for a special release or for a, I don't know what it was for. Maybe it was for a movie or it was, anyway, he agreed to do this track and he came in. And they're like, I just can't seem to put a couple lines together because he sounds different because he doesn't have teeth.
Oh, boy.
It just affected his sound. But if they cut it up real nicely and have him sing the parts enough times, they were able to get it done.
My teeth were so messed up.
But I'm like,
that's terrible.
How bad a place do you have to be in where you've got all the money in the world? And you can't even care about having teeth. Plus, he weighed about 110 pounds. He was tall, too, wasn't he?
Lane, yeah. Well, that's the drugs, man.
This for men and women. If y'all got some f***ed up ass teeth, man, we grown. Go and fix that.
I would just like to know, what was his bottom?
Lane's?
Yeah.
Well, I think he found it. He died. And then a cat ate him. What, is that not true? I thought the cats ate him.
I think there was something. I think there was some digestion of Lane Staley by the cat. So Mark Lanigan is being interviewed. They're supposed to talk about this record, you know, and about sort of what's going on with him and coronavirus and, you know, what's this going to do to his career and blah blah blah. And anyway, the questions start where Mark is explaining that he and his wife had a rental car and they were doing some business before heading back to Los Angeles. And then he says, oh, why are you in a rental car? And he said, well, I totaled my own car on Easter. I was getting some insulin for one of the miniature Australian shepherds of ours. And he goes, oh, was this a high-speed wreck? And he goes, no, it was at 10 miles an hour. I dropped a cigarette into this box of rubber gloves under the front seat and reached down to grab it. But he totaled his car going 10 miles an hour.
Did he drive off a ravine? Did he transport himself like the guy?
He hit a parked car.
What's he driving?
He said, it was the third time this guy's car had been hit while being parked in the same place. So he was pretty unhappy. Anyway, so Spin says, so what else has been difficult? He goes, it's all about this 5G shit. And they're going up hot and heavy around here. They're putting them up, getting them ready to go. And T-Mobile, who I've been with for 16 years, my wife for 15, they got their 5G stuff all over the place, too. But when she called to pay her bill a few weeks ago, they said, nope, it's already been paid. She said, no, it hasn't. But they said, no, you're cool. Then the next day, her phone got shut off. So she went into T-Mobile and said, what's going on? And they had no record of this phone call. So basically somebody has been impersonating someone from T-Mobile, convincing her she hadn't paid her bill when she hadn't.
And then the Spin writer goes, I'm sorry I asked.
Oh, absolutely. No, he acknowledges up front that this interview just went completely off the rails. And it took 3 hours to figure out why this had happened and how to get her phone back. And of course they kept track.
Oh boy.
They keep track of every call that goes in and out of there, but there was no record of this call.
Hmm.
I mean, really? Is there really a record of every call?
Whoa, let's stop talking with this guy.
Is the record of every call that accessible that fast? Or did they just just decide, you know what, we can't find it, so there's no record of the call. Let's move on and get another phone. And there was another guy there.
Who cares?
Who was all geared up like me in mask and protective gloves. And I asked him, what do you think of this whole 5G thing? He said, let's step outside and have a cigarette.
What?
So I did.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Oh, because he's going to tell him the truth and he can't do that inside?
Exactly.
You're not going to believe this. They actually
found... This is their new hoax.
They found the audio of his wife calling.
Oh, excellent.
This is crazy. And I think this is from the T-Mobile side.
What? What? I couldn't hear that last part. The connection just got really bad. Thanks a lot, though. Okay.
It's favorite long drop.
The guy says, it's exactly what you think it is. I don't want to paint myself as a weirdo conspiracy kind of guy because I've actually spent most of my life ignoring any intuition about these things. I've never acknowledged any internal fear, but this was staring me right in the face. Already in China, this is the interviewer. Already
this is their new hoax.
Already in China and Korea, there have been incidents of GPS signals being used or even spoofed to, say, bribe restaurants where someone will report feeling sick unless they're paid a ransom, or individuals thought to have tested positive for COVID-19 being shamed in their apartment complexes. So here comes Lanigan.
What?
Get this. The rental car is parked in my driveway, and somebody writes on the passenger side window in some kind of glue shit, COVID-19. And I'm like, okay, am I now marked? Are they going to come and take my property away?
I feel like he's got a Sami situation.
COVID-19!
COVID-19!
You see Sami just taking over everything? Taking his outgoing calls and painting his...
He had to take in a renter because he's lost like so
he's
much publishing.
Two steps ahead of everybody.
He just happened to take in Sami!
Well, because they couldn't deal.
I was just speaking to someone in Sweden. It's a different story over there. People are still eating at open-air cafes, and preschool, high school kids are still going to school. Oh, that's the writer. I'm sorry. So Lanigan comes in. We've got good friends in Sweden. While we were on tour, my wife almost died there, having emergency surgery that lasted 7 hours.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here comes another whopper.
Oh, boy.
She was in the hospital for 2 weeks in Malmo, where we have friends. Does he have friends in Malmo? So she was able to convalesce at their home. Oh, what a pain in the ass. Can you imagine? Oh, you mind? My wife stays here for a couple weeks convalescing.
Boy. Here we go.
I, of course, was out playing shows, and I didn't stop because to miss one show would mean financial disaster for us.
Oh, boy.
But it cost her $300, and she got Swedish citizenship at the same time. It's what? Crazy.
What? Wait, what?
Exactly.
That's cool. All you have to do in Sweden is get sick, and you become a citizen?
Okay, so that's how I took it.
I'm so confused.
I guess you pay $300, and you're a citizen, and then all your surgeries and convalescing is free.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
So Spin decides, boy, how do we get out of this? Are you at least enjoying Netflix like the rest of us during this difficult time? Well, I could if my wife hadn't torn all the big screen TVs out of our house.
Okay, let's go down that road.
What?
Oh, boy, here we go.
What happened, Mark? She found a face scan of herself on the screen behind the screen of one of the TVs, which are made in China, of course. She actually found a face scan of her head with a log to see how many decibels her ears could take. How thicker was her head?
Sami.
Any computer or television has a screen behind the screen. This is stuff that I've just come to find out. And she's like a wizard at getting past codes and figuring out how to make code into text. It's just a natural ability she has. But this scared the shit out of her. And she said, I don't want any of these TVs in my house. And we had three of them in the bedroom, the spare room, and the front room. And now we have none. And I don't even miss them.
People are dying.
I wonder if, is this like a long scam by her and she's going to drain all his money into another account?
Wacko.
And be like,
psycho.
It's crazy.
Cray cray.
It's Sami again.
I swear to God, I was thinking, is this a joke? Is this a,
is he messing
trying
with
to get attention? But then I read about Mark Lanigan and he's a pretty out there guy. I'm not knocking him. The band was great. They were very successful. Then 2 days later, I'm in my Pro Tools, and I come across these files that say FB something something. And I go in the files, I find out the FB stands for Facebook.
Whoa.
And what they are is licenses, third-party licenses. And now Facebook and Google are part of Pro Tools. If you ever bought a cell phone.
He's suspicious.
Wait. Facebook and Google are part of Pro Tools?
That's what Mark Lanigan says. I'm not saying it.
Brandon, isn't Pro Tools an Apple thing?
I didn't think Pro Tools was big enough to own anything. I figured Pro Tools is a program.
Yeah, but isn't it an Apple program or no?
Let's not analyze these crazy comments.
How can we not?
If you've ever bought a cell phone, part of the process when they're setting up for you is you come across these 500 pages of legalese that whoever's setting up or just pushes agree on. There's no way you can read it all, but I took the time to read it. And the more I read it, the more it started scaring the shit out of me.
This fishy.
That's why no one reads them.
I know.
I'm sorry, Pro Tools is not owned by Apple, so.
A lot of this is the writer. A lot of this has been duly documented, though. Yes, your smart TV might be watching you. Yes, Siri could theoretically be recording you.
Yeah.
You hope they're not, of course, but data theft? Just because something of mine got on their server, now they think they own it? Mine released records I've spent thousands of dollars on their equipment to make. Forget that shit. It's not going to fly. To Spielberg, because he used a Mac or something, are they going to take away his new movie? And the answer to that is no, because these guys are hip to that kind of shit. But guys like me who make records in the garage weren't sent the memo. So here's what happened next. It's 4 in the morning when I come across this shit. I immediately start texting my manager in Florida talking to people about it on my iPhone. And I'll be damned if I wasn't shut down immediately. And so I had my own private Snowden in the room with me.
Wow. Well,
for instance, my contacts list on my phone just disappears and ends up in a fitness or health app as a blocked call file. in real time, this happened. I'm starting to lose my mind. And I'm describing this to
friends. Calm down. It's okay.
Somebody's got to be fucking with them, right?
And they all say the same thing. Mark, why would anybody do this to you? And the same thing I asked myself. I'm a nobody. What the fuck? I was just Chicken Little. I had no way of proving any of it.
Wow.
And initially, I wasn't even going to do any interviews about this book and this record because what was the point? But I'm really proud of this record for a lot of different reasons, even though it's probably going to be a worst-selling record since the first Screaming Trees album. There's no mom-and-pop record stores to sell it because I sell more records at my merch table at shows than the record company sells themselves. After this, everything is going to be recalibrated in a way that's not going to be room for an artist like me in that world.
See, now all the other crazy stuff really kind of buries the really important thing he just said there.
I know.
And that's the important thing, is that he might be out of business as our smaller recording artist because they can't tour right now.
When he was talking about the songs, too, I actually was interested in the songs. I kind of want to hear what he's doing. But anyway.
Well, just ask Google for it.
I could own it, I guess. I can buy exactly. It from Google.
Yeah, freeware.
Oh, man. It's just, I read the rest of it, too. It just never stops.
Did he release it under... Screaming Trees, or is it just?
It's Mark Lanegan, I just think. There might be a band name. Anyway,
it looks like solo.
He goes on
to
talk about.
I've
spent most of my life being, well, not a great person. Then I stumbled upon this singing thing, and I realized that some people deeply connected with it. And once I started going out to the merch table every day and interacting with the people, I started hearing a lot of stories about what my music means to these people.
That's cool.
In the 90s, I might have talked to one fan once, and just by accident. And I started to think, well, this is my purpose. I was given this gift from who knows where, and for some people, it brought them great comfort. But then I stumbled across this licensing, and all my stuff got shut down. I thought, wait a minute, maybe I had this wrong. Maybe I'm actually here because I have this platform right now with this book and this record to talk about this blatant, out-in-the-open data theft that's happening.
I think this is brilliant by him to do such a wacky interview to make us listen to the album.
I would have never, you know, Aaron sent me this article, and thank you, Aaron. Normally, I probably wouldn't have found it and read it. I didn't even check Spin online. I didn't know Spin was still a big thing.
Yeah.
Does Spin do well to this
God,
day?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't checked it in
if
ages.
If they're writing about Mark Lanegan, I'm probably interested in stuff that they have.
Yeah. I tend not to go. I know. Do you ever go to Pitchfork? They tend to be a little,
yeah, I do.
Snooty, but still interesting. This is the song Stockholm City Blues.
Oh, okay.
Because since he loves Sweden so much.
Oh boy.
Descending every ladder to the final rung. It's gotta be a rocker on here. How about ketamine?
I know ketamine I was immediately interested in.
Now wouldn't make me blue.
Watch YouTube, guys! Just watch YouTube!
I didn't even know that existed.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist!
And it's well worth
terribly upbeat,
I'll try listening to the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. So yesterday, Little Richard died.
Yeah.
And Little Richard, you know, I always liked Little Richard. I know Mike loved Little Richard.
Yeah, he loved that line about his little toe going up in his boot. What's that?
Yeah.
That was Clark's favorite Little Richard thing ever.
He had a lot of funny lines. He was so interesting because... he was so flamboyant,
yep,
and gay,
mm-hmm,
in the 50s.
And black and, in the South.
And black. And he felt that his flamboyance and the makeup, that enabled the white audience to not see him as a threatening black guy.
Oh,
like he's an
that.
Effeminate black guy who, you know, it's really strange. And it sounds to me like he always thought he was gay. He always knew he was gay, and
did he ever have a long-term lover? Is there?
It's really weird. I'll get to that.
Okay.
Because that part of his story is fascinating. I mean, it's really weird. But just right off the bat, he heard Ike Turner's "Rocket 88,"
yeah,
which was considered the first rock and roll song. It is a cool song, and he just went from being. He grew up in the church. He was one of 12 kids. His father kicked him out of the house when he was 15 because he was gay. And he was just very flamboyant. And I think he said, I wanted 7 boys and I've got 6. And
jeez.
Richard just could not go with the program. He was just going to be that way. And he even had trouble in the choir at church because he always sang in a higher key and he hollered. I mean, he always had that hollering sound. Yeah. So.
Hi, Richard.
Richard went out on his own.
Did I do good, Daddy?
Unfortunately, his dad was never able to enjoy his success because and his father was an interesting dude. He was a very serious church guy. He was a deacon in the church. But he did sell moonshine on the side because he had 12 kids.
Wow.
And he had to do something. And then he opened a nightclub. And when Little Richard got his first record deal in 51, I believe it was, he had a song that was a single that actually got some airplay in Georgia. And his father had it on the jukebox. And they said he played it over and over. Cool. And he was really proud of him. And then he was shot and murdered shortly after that.
Dad was?
Yeah, the dad
was. Why? Was it over moonshine?
Oh, it was somebody who was kicking out of his club, I guess.
Oh, man.
So, Richard did some really interesting stuff, though, around this time. He was in the Hudson's Medicine Show, this Dr. Hudson's Medicine Show, which weird. Was like a half gospel, half gypsies, half, like, tent revival.
Sounds like a great one.
And he would sing Caledonia and a few other songs, which were considered devil music, you know, in church. Mm-hmm. And he also performed in drag as Princess Levon.
Really?
Yeah. He was performing in drag for a few years there. He joined minstrel shows.
Really?
And
minstrel shows in the 50s?
I know. Pretty weird. RCA signed him. That's when he did the song that his father actually got the 45 of. And then two record companies later, he did Tutti Frutti, which became a giant hit. Just a huge hit. Sold a million copies. Bum, bum, Tutti Frutti. And then Long Tall Sally after that, which sold a million copies. Long Tall Sally was covered by the Beatles, which that song has lived in infamy. And by the way, Michael Jackson owns two Beatles songs that they covered Little Richard on.
So he, what,
they covered Long Tall Sally, and they covered Kansas City, Hey, 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 which Richard had made out of Kansas City. He put this part on the end.
He doesn't own this version, though, does he?
This version of Long Tall Sally? I don't believe he does.
Okay, good.
But he is the writer, so he gets publishing for it. Jackson completely screwed him on publishing.
I'm shocked.
Jackson never paid him a dime, and he went after Jackson. Kind of on a personal level, like, you know, tried to, hey, Michael, you know, I know you're a fan and all this. Well, you've got publishing for some of his other songs, too. And I haven't been paid a dime. And you have. And do you think that's fair? And Jackson basically said, I'm not paying anything, but I'll give you a job writing. And Richard's like, right, who am I going to write for?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
When I write for myself, I'm Little Richard.
And Jackson, basically, was his way of saying, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Get out of here.
Hey, Richard, you can suck, fuck off.
Suck my dick.
I'll kick your ass.
Eat my salad.
What are you going to do about it, pussy?
So he has this string hits, Slipping and Sliding, Rip It Up, Ready Teddy.
Already.
My two favorites are The Girl Can't Help It. It's just a great fucking song. It's been covered by people. I don't think it's ever been done as well as Richard did it. He's the guy that brought really piano and horns to rock and roll. He and Jerry Lee Lewis were the first really guys behind the piano. Folks can't help it, the girl can't help it. She wins an eye. He's been in some big movies too. It's been a Tarantino movie, maybe.
God, I don't know.
Now, the shitty part is, in spite of him having 15 hit records from 55 to 57, they were bigger hits when Pat Boone did them.
Oh, God.
I know. And when Elvis did them, and Bill Haley did them, which just, you know, it's so terrible. But he did cross over to white audiences, and a funny story about that. When I was at the Continental Can Company, my first job out of college, selling corrugated, selling boxes, these two ladies in accounting who were probably in their 50s, Elsie and Jolene, and they were just funny as hell. They were just always gossiping back and forth. Anyway, they knew I was working at this radio station in Collinsville next door. WFIC, which was a
the thick
sun up to sundown license. So you had to turn off the transmitter in the winter at like 4:45.
Oh my god,
I know, it's ridiculous,
dude. This is, by the way, I'm looking up Tutti Frutti. The covers are pretty incredible. The MC5 covered it.
Do you know that? They did.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Let's see. Says it's the MC5.
I thought you said the girl can't help it.
Nice work there, Rudy.
No, I'm sorry. Tutti Frutti. Did you know New Order covered it?
Tutti Frutti? What?
I had no idea.
Really?
Be a little weirder.
Wait, this sounds like Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I was waiting for Funky Town to come up.
You know, Queen covered it at Wembley.
I can see Freddie doing that. Yeah.
It's funny.
The thing is, he screams. You can't sound like him. And Mick Jagger said he was my first idol. In my teens, was Little Richard. And McCartney, of course, loved Little Richard. He sang the Little Richard songs. Lennon sang the Chuck Berry songs. He said, I learned everything from Little Richard. And he said, I owe so much of what I do to Little Richard. And then he said, and Richard would say, there's Chucker. he said, he'd say it himself. He'd say, I taught Paul everything he knows. I have to admit, he was right. And they toured with Little Richard. The Beatles opened for Little Richard in 62. Richard took a break in 57. He renounced his homosexuality and said, I'm going to be the leader of a church. And he went to seminary school. First seminary school he was kicked out of for exposing himself to another man.
Yeah, boy.
I'm not gay.
I thought he renounced it.
He renounced it, but he didn't stop doing it. But he did end up becoming a preacher, and then he started doing gospel shows. He renounced all his secular music.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, didn't it?
There's the famous one.
It didn't work out well.
There's the famous sermon that he did that's online.
Oh, yeah.
That the Lord tonight has set you free.
Yes, sir.
Turn around and tell those people.
Tell them.
I'm not gay no more. I am delivered. I don't like men no more. I said I like women. Women, 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 women.
Why is he dressed like that then?
I said women. I'm not gay. I would not date a man. I would not tear a purse. I would not put on makeup.
That's a real video, isn't it?
I
will love a woman.
I predict he will continue to be gay. Just a prediction.
What's wrong? Is you gay or something?
That was an answer from a congregant.
And then there was, you know, in that whole religious phase, there was a little incident where Richard really liked, for example, he had this girlfriend, Audrey Robinson was her name. And Richard liked to pick up men and watch other men gangbang Audrey. And he also liked to literally drive in a car with her and just pick up a guy and watch them in the back seat. Apparently, at one point, he said, oh, this is all him talking.
It's really
he
weird. Said,
the only way I could get off was watching her get nailed by somebody else while she got me off.
What?
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick.
It's just so weird. Anyway.
A weirdo.
So he really dug the gangbangs with her and even got back together. He liked them so much, he got back together with her so he could watch her get nailed by some other guys in 62, 63. But he did get married, and he became secular again in 62. Yeah,
that guy was way ahead of his time. 1962, he was organizing gangbangs.
I know. He said at one point, he said, I did everything first.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think he did.
You're right, Richard, you did.
Wild man. So, 62, he's back in the secular world, and it's not the same. It's kind of like his time has passed. He fucked up and blew 5 years. But he lived in Los Angeles in a mansion, and he had successfully crossed over. But, I forgot about Continental Can Company, Elsie and Jolene.
Oh, yeah.
He told me that because I knew I worked at WFIC, the Big Fick. And they're like, you like music, don't you? I said, yeah, I'm into rock and roll. And they said, do you know Elsie and I? We used to lie to our daddies and say we're going to our girlfriend's house and we go see Little Richard at the Armory.
Really?
And our daddy would have killed us if he knew we went to see that black man.
Slut.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
They love Little Richard. And she said all their girlfriends went too, and it was a big, you know, don't tell. Don't tell anyone.
Oh, silly. That's really, that's neat, though.
Don Arden, the promoter, talked Richard into playing second music again, threw a lot of money at him to play Europe, where he apparently there was a lot of demand for him. He had the Beatles open for him. And then he picked up Billy Preston was in his band. James Brown was in his band at one time. And then Jimi Hendrix was in his band, which is incredible.
Mr. Billy Preston, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I was his booth announcer.
In fact, he's
only officially credited person on a beat recording besides John Paul, George, and Ringo.
He said, don't tell me about James Brown. I used to feed James Brown. I fed Jimi Hendrix. I fed all those guys. I fed Billy Preston.
Fed him.
So he actually made an album with Billy Preston and Jimi Hendrix, and he was a classic band leader.
This
you know,
motherfucker play those keyboards.
You know, they had those classic band leaders back then. James Brown was a band leader eventually, which Little Richard said he taught him everything, of course. But he was his biggest proponent. Nobody else seemed to want to give him the credit. He did get the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the first year he was eligible.
Yep.
But he never got a Grammy, which he bitched about.
Oh, at the Grammys, right?
Yeah, at the Grammys.
I started all this, but nobody ever gave me no Grammys.
I never got no Grammys.
It's the Grammys.
Did you know he renounced his homosexuality on the David Letterman show?
He did in 1982, I believe. Yeah. I saw that.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
That was really weird. And then in 1997, he said, I've always been gay. Then in 2017, he said he is not gay and he doesn't want to be gay and he'll never be gay again. But he's 85 years old at that point.
Come along. Maybe rock and roll would have started differently or later. I'm sure it would have started sooner or later.
I'm actually interested in knowing.
I don't believe it would have got started at
all.
How
did David get into the subject with him?
In my hometown,
I think he brings
Georgia,
it up.
Where I'm from, I've never heard any rock and roll music before. It was Swingin' Sway with Sammy Kay when I was a little boy.
Yeah, how old were you when you were listening to Sammy Kay?
I really didn't listen to him. But I had gotten tired of hearing about him.
It's so weird, too, because his hair is just, you know, it's just an afro, just a basic afro, nothing. The pompadour is not there. He's got a boring gray or a beige suit on with a tie.
I didn't either.
It's like, where's the exciting Little Richard?
I decided that
he's really trying to. He's trying to gay it down.
We're in 1957. How long had you been performing as Little Richard at that point?
I had been performing as Little Richard from a little boy.
Yeah.
From a little boy, I was singing around Macon, Georgia, beating on the door steps.
Hi,
I would
Richard.
Go around from house to house and beat on the steps, and people would give me a quarter, a dime, 50 cents.
But by 1957, you were an established rock and roll entity.
Yes.
And you were touring in...
I don't know when he gets into it. It's a long interview.
Yeah, it's not a bad interview, though. But yeah, he does talk about it, and he says
I never
he's renounced
that.
All that. He said, he's, at one point, he said, if Elvis is a king of rock and roll, I was a queen. He would say crazy shit like that, and nobody ever bothered to say... He's gay and I hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, if he had just tried to be quiet about it and, you know, behind the scenes was gay as hell, people probably would have whispered about it and said, oh, he's terrible. But I don't know. People, they just liked him. You could not like Little Richard.
He's just so out there. People didn't know what to do with him, probably. And he made good music.
He was just such a unique guy. He was himself. He never, you know, compromised. He just did what he was going to do. And people just loved him. And they
great
loved
story.
His music. Yeah. But he did make... Well, I guess kind of a comeback. He was in Down and Out in Beverly Hills. People made kind of a big deal out of that. And then he was in a couple WrestleManias.
Yeah.
He's perfect for WrestleMania, isn't he, when you think about it?
When did he do that, do we know?
That was WrestleMania 9?
WrestleMania 10?
9 or 10?
Yeah.
I think he sang the anthem or something.
America the Beautiful, here it is.
I think he got a little carried away.
I hope he did.
You're awesome. Oh, beautiful. What face the sky.
That mustache is so cool. Such a weird mustache.
You can't not know it's delicious.
He's got a whole gospel choir around the ring swaying back and forth. But he's in the ring. gospel singer who's pulling a Sissy Houston. Not really even singing the words.
He could still sing. He did lose, he had some problems with vocals at times because he was abusing so many drugs. And I guess he had a big drug problem in the early 60s, so he was one of the first with a drug problem. Yeah.
Good job.
And then in the 70s, he was crazy. He, I forgot what he said, something about how much cocaine he did. And then he said he quit cocaine, but when he started doing PCP and heroin, cocaine, he liked the heroin because it kept him up. Or he liked the cocaine because it kept him up. He didn't nod off. So he said he was spending over $1,000 a day in 1972, 73, which that's a lot of drugs at that time. But in 77,
LSD,
he became...
PCP, heroin, cocaine... What else you want to know?
Here's a weird question. Did he ever have a kid with that lady?
He adopted a kid.
He
never did.
Whatever happened to that kid?
Ernestine, his wife, who he married in 62, and they divorced in 67, I think, or 59 to 64. Oh, he was close to him. He worked for Richard his whole life. He was a security guard.
Is he still alive?
I think he is.
Danny Jones.
Yeah, I think they were close, and they till the end. But Richard said that he felt bad because he kept backsliding into gay activity when he's married to Ernestine.
I thought you were going to say drugs.
No, well, drugs, yeah, he did that too. But
backsliding into gay activity.
Ernestine said he was not gay, he was straight. And little Richard said, the reason she said that is because I was such a pumper at that time. Meaning like he was so horny. I know, he's just fucking hilarious. I was such a pumper then. She wouldn't have known.
What's wrong? Is she gay or something?
She got her share.
I think that's when she, when he told her.
You need to learn how to suck some goddamn dick. You sound like a goddamn pussy to me.
But what an abusive relationship.
He also was arrested in a gas station. He was driving around with that same girl, Audrey, that he fell in love with. He liked seeing her get gangbanged. They used to drive around, and she would pick up guys so Richard could watch them bang in the back seat. And apparently they were at a gas station. It was a little too lit, and the cops came and arrested him, and he was in jail for 3 days for that. So
well, he didn't do anything wrong.
I think she was getting him off, too, because that was the only way he could get off for a while, was if she was getting nailed by somebody else.
What a team player she is.
I know. That's really tough, though. I mean, you got to have this string to make it work for him. If there's no other dude, he's not getting off. He needs a dude and a girl. So, yeah, he was, you know, the whole confusion about sexuality with him and the church, and it always came down to that. It was when he got more into the church that he felt all this guilt about his sexuality. At one point, he did say, I think I'm bisexual, and he thought that was okay, but then he renounced that because he got back into the church, and it was the confusion of the church constantly telling him he couldn't be gay, and he believed that,
but
that
no
it was
one in,
wrong.
No one in music gave a shit, too.
That's, no, they didn't when he was doing it. But he
really confusing for him.
Probably because of when he was born, he just had a hard time, you know, although he never pretended not to be. But
and he died of bone cancer? Is that what he
said? Yeah, bone. He was 87, though, you know.
Brandon didn't even know he's still alive. And I said,
to tell you the truth, if you would have asked me, I would have said he already passed away. I think I get him confused with James Brown a lot.
Or Chuck Berry.
Or Chuck Berry.
You racist.
You know, it's funny to me that so often people say, oh, the first rock and roll song, Bill Haley, Rock Around the Clock. It's like, no. Bill Haley.
Do you think, do you think OJ said anything about Little Richard on Twitter?
Maybe. Zyke turned it into Rock at 88, which he did in Sun Studios in Memphis, by the way, where Elvis came up, and I think Orbison recorded there, and Jerry Lee. But Little Richard and Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry came along shortly after that. And, you know, to think of these black guys who really, you know, were so beloved by the Beatles and the Stones and, you know, all of those early mid-60s rock bands, a lot of them talked about Little Richard and Jerry Lee and Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley. And then, you know, they all got ripped off by these white artists that did the same songs and made more money doing it. But he called himself the architect of rock and roll.
So OJ hasn't had anything since his Don Shulagy.
Really?
But Larry King did tweet out about it. Because, you know, he eulogizes everybody. Sorry to learn of the passing of Little Richard. The word legend gets thrown around a lot these days. But Little Richard was a true legend. He left an indelible imprint and influenced many genres of music. May he rest in peace.
Jesus.
What a generic, generic eulogy.
He never had
shiny
much...
Shiny and sparkly.
Yes.
And splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
He never had much support except for touring. People always wanted to see him. And...
Performer, man.
Yeah, he was. But he never got the great record deal after he came back, after he went to the church or he thought he was going to the church.
Jackson ripped him off.
Yeah, Jackson ripped him off. And I don't know if you remember when Clark and I tried to call him because he lived at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yeah, he talked, yeah.
And he, we talked to him, and then there was the I think the first two times we called, somebody told us that you have to ask for Richard Pennyman. And if you look at a lot of old records or records you think are by somebody else, you'll see that name, Richard Pennyman.
Yeah.
And and so we called him, like, because we'd asked for Little Richard, and somehow we got him once, and then we couldn't get him. We knew he still lived there because we kept seeing in the tabloids there's Little Richard going to his home in Beverly Hills. So we asked Richard Pennyman, and somebody said, "Hello, yeah, this is we're trying to reach Richard Pennyman." He's like, "Hold on a minute." I'm like, "Wait, isn't that him?"
"Hi, Richard."
"Yeah, well, sounds like him." "Mr. Pennyman is very busy right now. He's in a meeting. But if you could call back in 15 minutes, I'll see if I can get him for you." But it was him.
It's him, yeah.
It was fucking Little Richard.
Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now, so I can't talk.
And I just think he would want to create the illusion that he had an assistant taking his calls. But he was cool when we did talk to him.
Did a bunch of commercials, too, and that's what a lot of people were tweeting about, like Spike Lee. Did you know he directed one with him and Micah Jordan?
"Yo, Mars Blackman, here with the Lattice Lamp. I am the genie of the lamp. I'm granting you just one wish." "What should I wish for? Do you know? $1 million? Nah, tax problem. A new car? And drive.
Gatorade.
I got it. A wop bama loo ma fala bam boom."
Turn into Jordan. That was a famous ad.
"It and you?"
That voice. That voice is unmistakable.
And then Chuck Woolery said that Little Richard once played my son in a commercial back in the 90s. I will miss him.
He was cool, man. He was a cool guy. He was always, you know, wherever he was, whenever he was talking, I was listening because he was always saying something funny, interesting, crazy.
Yeah.
He was always interesting, always fun.
Did the Geico commercial that you mentioned
earlier? Oh, yeah.
Brandon.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that was the last thing I remember him from because I haven't seen him in so long that I did think that he had passed away.
You know what's funny? When he came back, when Don Arden got him to tour in 62, he went out and he was trying to play, you know, "I got to play my gospel music. I got to spread the word of Jesus." And so he started doing that and people were getting pissed and he got booed a little bit. And I forgot who was on the tour with him, but he was standing backstage watching this guy drive the audience crazy. And Arden said he couldn't take it. He had to own that crowd. So he started gradually, you know, "Good Golly, Miss Molly, Lucille, Girl Can't Help It." All the songs started getting into the tour until he was closing every night and the place was going apeshit for him. He just couldn't take this other guy, you know, getting more attention than he was.
What a very strong death triangle, because you have Don Shula, Little Richard, and Roy Horn.
Wait, aren't Roy Horn and Little Richard, is this going to be a gay trio, possibly?
Oh!
A gay death triangle? Because I hope Elton John doesn't kill himself just to get in there.
Jeez.
Wouldn't that suck?
like this is his big opportunity to be in a nice death triangle.
What if Don Shula got in that triangle and just went nuts?
He's the middle of the Lucky Pierre. He's the Lucky Pierre.
Don Shula getting out with Roy Horn. What a concept.
Guess what's trending right now? This is fun.
What?
MILFs.
MILFs?
It's Mother's Day.
Why?
So MILFs are trending.
Hoo-ah.
Are people tweeting
for Mother's Day?
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
And MILFs are so fine. You know, you'll never find a woman who complains about being called a MILF.
No, everyone wants to be a MILF.
No, you can't complain about it.
"Dude, your mom is hot."
Everyone
loves a
MILF.
You can act appalled and you can suggest, "Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed." But no, you like it. Admit you like it. It just didn't matter.
You gotta stop cock blocking your mom. What's up, Silver Fox?
Hey, Luke Nowacki was on Charlie's show.
Yeah, the oxygen tank.
What a crazy show that was.
He had his new nickname, the oxygen tank.
Why is that his nickname? I missed that part.
You'll have to either listen or rewatch the Facebook Live on Charlie's page to see why he's the oxygen tank.
Well, watch some of it. I didn't recognize him. I'm like, who's that guy with the big beard? That's Luke.
I didn't recognize him either because of his coronavirus beard. But but he there were two times he had camera positioning problems, because one time he starts typing, all you see are his fingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And another time he stood up and his whole square was just his giant package. So Charlie started calling me Oxygen Tank.
Well, he was at Coney Island. He was in American Coney Island,
yep.
Grace's place. And Grace came on. Charlie goes off camera. Grace comes on camera and reads Luke's commercial. Yeah. Luke reads Grace's commercial. Yeah. It was a wacky show. And
I read Hull's while he held the copy up to the camera. I don't know why. Luke did a good job. We talked a lot of economic type stuff.
Yeah, I listened to some of it. I didn't get all that. I got about 20 minutes in. It was good.
There's some no BS news within all the frivolity.
Yeah, it was a little tricky being out there in Detroit. I don't know if it was a Wi-Fi a problem there.
Luke's connection was bad because Luke connected on his phone, so Charlie would have better Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, anyway, Luke, they did talk some economy, some numbers, and a lot of people are concerned about investing right now or where they are investing. Should they stay there or should they make some moves? Do you need more liquidity? Are you worried about work? Are you furloughed? Maybe you need... maybe you need to uninvest in some things. Or maybe you've got some cash on the side and you're going, hey, here's an opportunity. The market is down. Call Luke Nowacki. These are the kind of questions he loves to answer. 248-663-4748. Email Luke at lnowacki at pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. And he was talking over my head a little bit. I had to tell him, Luke, bring it down. Don't be afraid to tell Luke to bring it down. He just... He gets very excited. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities in our marketing names, product services, reference here, are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
And to answer your question from earlier, Jim Bentley is still alive.
Oh, I've been texting with him, yes. He was on his way to get sushi when I sent him the Zoom information.
He's allowed to leave home?
Oh, you're allowed to leave home, Jim?
Yeah.
He said... Oh, he's here?
Yeah, there he is. Can you not see him on Zoom? Drew. Oh, yeah. Throw it in front of Drew so Drew can see it.
What's going on? Hey, Drew.
Hey, Jim. How you doing, man?
Awesome. Stop. Hey,
how do people get in touch with you if they want a car?
How do people get a hold of me?
Yeah.
I would email jbentley@zotford.com.
Okay.
Why? Let me guess. Someone emailed and said I didn't answer?
No. But there have been some people saying, you know, I got a lease coming due. I need to start thinking about this, blah, blah, blah.
And then we all realized that nobody had heard from you since COVID started. And we thought maybe Kate had you on lockdown. Yeah.
I mean, I've been going out a lot.
Are you wearing a mask like a pussy?
Parking was great in Royal Oak.
Isn't that great?
The Little Tree Sushi.
Yeah. I know.
I missed out, man.
It is awesome just to be able to drive right up to Mesa. Get my food, go home.
Finally parking in Royal Oak.
Hey, Jim, did you wax your eyebrows? Your eyebrows look different to me.
Really?
Is that possible?
They look thin.
I just thought maybe you were extremely bored at home or something.
No. Wax my eyebrows. I need a haircut.
Golly, like, what a homo.
Hey, did everyone watch 2020 Friday night?
Yes.
Did you see it, Jim? I know you watch those shows.
No. I fell asleep Friday at about 6:30 p.m.
What?
Why?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. I was cuddled up with the dog on the couch, and next thing I knew, it was 2 a.m, and I was so confused on the couch.
Oh, man, I used to love it when that would happen.
Where the hell am I?
Doing morning drive, you know, I could come home and just pass out at 5 o'clock, wake up at like 1 in the morning and go, oh, it's 1 in the morning. Oh, my God. I'm going to watch a couple movies. Nobody's up. I have everything to myself.
The worst is falling asleep, though, and then waking up and looking at the clock. It's like 6 and it's kind of dusk. You're like, oh my God, I'm late. You thought you had slept through the night.
Oh, I've right. Had, yeah, that's that a weird feeling.
That happened to me a lot.
No, I'm still sleeping.
Are you familiar with the Sean Gale murder case? The Chicago Bear guy who was dating a whole bunch of women in Chicago?
No, you know what?
All right, bye.
Kate started watching it without me. All right, see? I thought you were talking to me.
Let's get Kate on Skype. I'm just asking.
No, he was asking you.
Yeah, I thought you've added nothing
now that we know you're alive.
The Sean Gale case has been out there. In fact, 2020 did a story on it before, but now there's an update because the way this thing went, Sean Gale, who was in his 40s, I think, had been dating this girl for 18 years.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's been dating a zillion other chicks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how this Roni.
We expect more from you, Gail.
What's her name? Roni Ryder? I think her name.
Ronnie. Yeah.
Ronnie. She was very pretty, of course. I mean, Sean Gale had ladies' man. And she of course, was madly in love with him, wanted to get married. She got pregnant at 41. It's kind of a, you know, miracle, first baby. She's so happy. He was excited, too. He wanted to have a kid. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't. He just wasn't ready to settle down. I don't know clearly, when this guy clearly would ever settle down. Yeah. So I don't know.
I thought it was funny, too. He would do plenty of interviews after the murder happened until it was revealed that he was banging all these chicks. He's like, no more interviews.
I know. And that was, honestly, I felt so bad for that girl. First of all, she's pregnant with her first child. Well, she's so excited.
Yeah.
And she gets murdered by another girl he had been seeing named Marnie Yang, who is the biggest fucking psycho. Yeah. And she's not that hot.
No, he should be relieved seeing her today. Like, ugh. Like not that only she's that, locked up.
But at the time, she's one of these chicks that would take a zillion selfies in her bathing suit and, you know.
She wanted to be a fitness model.
I'm 40, but I'm still the hottest chick out there.
Selfie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she claimed she was a model, but she didn't have any real modeling work. She had almost no credits, but she said she was a model.
Needed a nose job. Actually, because her kids were on 2020, and I went, oh, thank God they didn't get the nose gene.
Oh, yeah, you're
she
right.
She had a major honker.
So, anyway, this girl, Marnie Yang, she's such a psycho.
Yang gang.
She breaks into his computer. She hacks into his computer, and she sees all the names of all the other girls he's dating. And she also reads emails from this one girl. Was she from Yugoslavia or something?
Yeah, it was pretty hot.
She's very hot. And she claims she dumped Gale. I doubt that. This seems like nobody dumped Sean Gale. He must have just been incredible. Anyway, she impersonates the way this woman speaks in emails, threatening emails to every other girl in
his
bed,
huh?
There's like 17 girls he's seeing. 17 girls. She sends shitty emails like, get out of the way. Stay away from Sean Gale. He's mine.
Interesting.
And she also sent one to herself.
Yeah.
And the way it was written, everyone thought it was this Yugoslavian chick. I mean, it was a pretty brilliant move.
Spoiler alert. Obviously, it was her.
That was her.
And they know that because when they raided her apartment, they found like the printing labels with all the addresses on it. What an idiot. Get
you
rid of that.
My man, I'll bust your ass wide open.
Why wouldn't she get rid of that stuff? She could have, honestly, she could have gotten away with this whole thing if she wasn't such a blabbermouth.
She denies that she wrote the letters. No, it wasn't me. I got one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just happened to have the mailing addresses of all of them.
It's crazy.
So
I forgot, what was her excuse for having the mailing addresses in her house?
I forgot. Her kids, she was afraid her kids were going to get killed or something.
But she basically said, oh, well, I got one too.
It was
just
ridiculous.
Genius behind it, you idiot.
And she's giving an interview because she's trying to get an appeal, which is, there's no way. But you want to play Sean? Anyway, the pregnant girl, one day she's getting up to go to work. She opens the door and she's shot seven times by this tiny little girl, this quote-unquote model, who then runs away, gets away, and they didn't really have a good description of her, but they, of course, start interviewing the other girlfriends because they'd all gotten shitty notes, so they knew there was somebody angry in that group, somebody kind of psycho. And who suggested it was her? Did a couple of the girls?
They got three anonymous letters the detectives did that all mentioned Marnie Yang, Marnie Yang, Marnie Yang. I found it thoroughly entertaining watching her and her lawyers argue away all the evidence, including the car that she rented, which they had it nailed down. The distance the rent-a-car traveled went to the exact places they thought that the killer would have gone and back.
Including the girl she killed's house and back to the rental car place.
So her lawyers rented the same exact car and took a picture from the same exact spot, and they're like, it's totally different, to which I said, that angle is totally different. Where the car is angled, that's why the one front looks longer. It was just an absurd picture to compare to each other.
Why the legal system has to deal with these ridiculous appeals? She's so fucking guilty.
Well, the other part, too, remember she got nailed because she made a homemade silencer? She ordered a book called How to Make a Silencer.
Said it was for her kid's school project.
Well, she also then, but before she said it was a joke between her and a cop she was dating.
Yeah, real funny.
To which, why did the detective?
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'd accept.
The detective should have gone, okay, play out this joke for me. How did the conversation go? Because what is the setup for the joke of buying how to make a silencer for a
ridiculous,
cop?
Ridiculous, ludicrous.
And then again, she didn't mention like the fact that she went to Home Depot and bought all the things the book said to buy to make a homemade silencer.
And that she told her psychic that she killed this woman at dinner. With the psychic wore a wire and recorded her saying it. And she said, I knew she had a wire. I set it on purpose because I was trying to protect my kids. Is that what she said?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, really?
And she only said she saw the wire because the psychic, who was huge, by the way, at one point.
Oh, she was. God, she was big.
Yeah, at one point on the wire, she goes, I think she might have seen the wire.
Yeah, so her lawyer is privy to all that data now. So now her story is that I did see the wire, and that's why I confessed.
She's such a moron.
Play Gail's call, because Sean Gale calls the police. He hears that a pregnant woman's been murdered in the area where this girl lives. Now, he becomes a suspect because he, of course, is the father of the kid. And they figure, oh, man, he didn't want that fucking kid. That's why he did it. And he calls the police station right after. How suspicious.
How far in is that? Do you know?
It was...
This is it. I think this is it.
Yeah. 1720 or something.
1720?
Yeah. It's twice they go back to it at later on, but the whole call is at 1720.
All right, let me go back. Here is it. 20.
Is there any relation to David Gale, the Spacey character in that movie, The Life of David Gale?
You're still here?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is he related to Little Lord Gale?
I'm getting the fuck out of here.
What in the hell are you talking about?
I love the way Kevin Spacey goes, not every stay-at-home quarantine. You know how I feel, because I can't go anywhere.
Yeah, except he did that to himself.
Deerfield Police Department.
I'm calling about that shooting in Deerfield.
Yes.
Listen, I've been getting calls from the media. This is Sean Gale, and they're trying to say they're naming me as a suspect.
Hold on, please.
Was it Ronnie Ryder? Is she okay?
Yes, it was Ronnie, and no, she's not.
She's dead?
Sean, don't go to her house, okay?
I thought he was going to go.
Sean, come to the police department. Do you know where it is?
Hey!
Okay.
What happened?
So where are you right now?
I'm on Deerfield Road.
Okay.
I got to call our parents.
Hey! Yeah, her family. He met her family four times in 18 years.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted the baby. That's aside from the point. But.
Yeah, I don't think he did either. I felt so bad for her that she, for some reason, was so nuts about this guy. And then when they say, okay, Sean, maybe it's somebody in your world. Who have you been seeing besides Ronnie the last year or so? How many? 17 girls?
How much time you got?
17 girls.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, and he nailed the one that murdered the night before.
17.
Wasn't it the night before he nailed her?
Yeah, the murderer.
Yeah.
We expect more from you, Gail.
Man, I thought the girl that got murdered was way hotter than the murderer.
Oh, Marnie's gross. Her fitness photos are gross, too.
Oh, I know. She's just, ugh.
I think he actually did want some... you know, he wanted to do some real estate deals with her. That's how they first met. Because when you hear the story of how they met, it's like, oh, he just wanted to bang this chick. But no, I think it really, he wanted to do real estate deals with her because she's gross.
Yeah, I think Ronnie, he just wanted to bang and keep banging.
Yeah, yeah.
But not be in any official position with her so he could bang other chicks.
That's awful.
By the way, a little off the subject, but you hear the CFL may have to fold.
What?
Yeah, CFL really? May be over due to coronavirus.
Are they keeping all Stan's money?
Oh, we should call Stan about that.
You want to?
I think we probably should. Apparently, the CFL depends on ticket sales. That's the primary revenue.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's what they said.
They don't make TV revenue?
I guess they make TV revenue. It's not as much as the ticket revenue.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer.
And they cannot foresee having full stadiums.
Oh, man.
Anytime real soon. I mean, eventually maybe, but they said by that time, they'll be folded.
Do you want to pull up Stan's number, Brandon? On that pooter.
Stanley.
Where's Jim? Did Jim bolt?
He did. he just sent me a message that said, I'm out. Man, no, it said peace. Didn't want to say it, but my... Oh, never mind.
We got flushed out of the show. Wait, fast.
Why can't he say that?
I don't know.
It's nothing bad.
Well, I'm curious.
There's some festivities at his house. Nothing bad.
I see.
It's Mother's Day.
Oh.
I think that's why. Okay. But it's not Kate. Yeah, well, whatever. We basically figured it out. Okay, what were we doing? I'm sorry. I'm lost.
Right here. Stan's phone number is right here.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Let's see.
Yeah, so this bitch thinks she's going to get... She thinks she's going to be found not guilty on appeal. Yeah,
right. I can't believe it's even up for discussion.
I can't either. That's what I'm saying.
Can a judge just throw
imagine
it out
how much
now.
Money's been spent on this stupid appeal.
In
I bet
time.
She's not paying for that lawyer. She didn't have any money. And her stupid kids are lying for her. The murder lovers. You got a murder DNA, so I guess they would. Stan, the who lover. What's the wife's name?
Karen.
Hello?
Karen.
Hi.
Hey, it's Drew and Mike in Detroit. Drew and Mike's show. How are you?
I was just thinking about you guys.
No way.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you enjoying Mother's Day?
Yes, I am very much.
Has Stan been doing special things for you?
Yes, and here's Stan to say hello.
Oh, good.
Okay, bye. What was that?
Stan! It's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. How you doing?
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Stan?
Oh, were we just talking to a drop?
Damn it!
Couldn't tell the difference.
How are you, Stan?
Good, how are you?
Good. Great. We just got the word that the CFL may have to fold.
Yeah.
What can you tell? Can you give us the inside dope on this?
The virus.
The coronavirus.
The virus? But
yes.
Don't they make a lot of money on their TV deal?
No.
No way.
But do you really think they're going to fold? I mean, it's an institution.
Yeah. I don't know. Hard to say.
You sound a little down in the dump, Stan.
Yeah. I miss the sports. A little sports on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
There isn't any.
No basketball, no hockey playoffs, no baseball.
No,
wow.
Nothing.
No, are you spending more time with Karen because of it?
No. I'm Money in the Bank now. I'm watching wrestling. Good entertainment.
Okay.
Oh, wrestling?
Yeah.
So that's how you're filling your CFL time with wrestling? Okay.
Stan,
who's your favorite wrestler, Stan?
I don't really have a favorite wrestler.
Is Karen, is she digging the wrestling, or is she like, oh, Stan?
No, she's not. She can't stand it.
But it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, I know.
How often, what percent of the time does Karen get the remote control?
What percent of the time? What?
Like, how often does Karen get to decide what to watch on TV?
She's got her own TV upstairs. If I ever watch the big screen TV here, she goes upstairs to watch it in her room.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Stan, there's a wrestling series on Vice called Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Is there?
Yeah. No. If you're a fan of the old school wrestling at all, like the 80s and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Brandon, who have they been covering?
Money in the Bank special on tonight.
What's that?
Money in the Bank.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a pay-per-view tonight, Money in the Bank.
Oh.
Right.
Who's in that, Brandon?
Well, all the guys of today, all the current superstars that are wrestling. So you'll probably see guys like Seth Rollins, and you'll see Roman Reigns and a couple other dudes. You're thinking of, Drew, Dark Side of the Ring, where we get to find out all the horror stories from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. We won't find out about the horror stories of the current people playing in Money in the Bank tonight until about, I don't know, 5 or 6 months.
But Stan's got to know these olds. Who's in that series that Stan might know?
Dark Side of the Ring. Well, it talks about, obviously, Chris Benoit was one of them.
Oh, yeah. Who's the guy that got murdered, Brandon?
Well,
he was a mob guy, kind of. He's a Canadian, I think.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't the whole family?
And then there was a family that all had tragedies. The Van something family?
The Von Erich families.
That was Benoit's, wasn't it?
Benoit killed his wife and his child, and then he killed himself.
Yes.
There's also episodes on Jimmy Snuka because he killed his girlfriend. There's ones on the Road Warriors. Owen Hart, who fell to his death.
Yeah.
There's two seasons, and I want to say a total of like 15 episodes.
Hey, Stan, so the CFL gave their big state of the league address, and they asked the Canadian government for $150 million. Do you think the government should give them a loan for $150 million?
I got no idea. A lot of people are going to be asking their buddies for the season ticket holders.
Oh, I know.
Money back. They want a refund.
Wait,
you haven't gotten a refund yet?
No.
What?
No.
That's outrageous. If they fold, they wouldn't, would they? Screw the
How about the NFL? How about the Tom Brady thing?
Oh, I know. Going to Tampa.
Yeah.
Or as they say down there, Tampa Brady.
Yeah, Tampa Brady, yeah.
And Gronk.
That's going to be a good matchup with Drew Brees.
What? Drew Brees.
You mean when
New Orleans.
When he
left San Diego?
The very opening, I think the week one is Tom Brady in the Bucs versus Drew Brees and the Saints.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Stan, so how is Canada doing with the coronavirus? It seems like they're being successful in terms of knocking it down, but are people going back to work pretty soon?
They figure probably May, beginning of June.
No kidding. Okay. And is anybody working there?
Yeah, I've been working right through, yeah.
Really?
Yes. The wife got temporary laid off.
Do you have some kind of essential work?
I'm a forklift operator in a trucking company in a warehouse. Like, the chemicals are not for the farming.
Yeah, I got to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you glad you're working, or are you a little nervous
I'm
about
glad
going?
I'm working. Okay. I'll be 66 on Thursday.
Really? Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
That's great. Do you wear a mask?
I'll work till I drop.
Well, yeah, you don't want to stay home with Karen, right?
No, I'll be bored. Two bored. No sports on. No nothing on.
Stan, are you wearing a mask while you work?
No, we don't have to.
Okay.
Really?
Do you wear it when you go to the stores and stuff?
I don't really go to the stores. I hate the stores. Karen does all that. Karen does all that stuff.
Does Karen wear a mask?
Yeah, I bought her a couple from work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys still getting the free groceries from that place that wouldn't give you free groceries? The ones that...
No.
Okay.
That only lasted probably a little over a year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, it's too bad.
I wasn't sure if they reneged on their deal.
Now we're going to have to make a visit to you guys down in Detroit. Whereabouts are you guys in Detroit?
We're close to downtown Ferndale, Royal Oak, just outside the city.
Yeah.
Nice place.
Sure.
Yeah, you'd have fun, Stan.
I'm going to have to pop in and see you guys in person. You guys are awesome.
Oh, my God, that'd be great, as long as you wear a mask.
Yeah, well, the virus will be over by then.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
So when Canada goes back, how much restriction is there? Are restaurants going to be half full, or have they talked about that stuff?
They're talking about, like, distancing, like social distancing.
Uh-huh, distancing, yep.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Did you know anybody that actually got sick?
No, nobody.
Stan, if the Who were going to play in Toronto at one of the nice stadiums there, and they had a full house in spite of the coronavirus, would you go anyway?
No.
No? Because of the virus?
I love the Who. Yeah. I love the Who, too.
They're great.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
I think
it's a bunch of... personally, I think it's a bunch of garbage. Virus.
Really? Yeah. You're not buying it?
That's what I think, yeah.
You think we're being chicken shit?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's definitely two schools of thought here, and it seems that the people who are afraid of dying are winning the argument right now.
It's pretty
severe. How many people have died in Canada? Do you know offhand?
I can't remember right offhand.
What do you
think? Toronto got pretty hard, pretty hit.
Yeah.
Hit pretty hard. Toronto, now Quebec.
What do you think about
Manitoba's not too bad.
So, but didn't Justin Trudeau tell everyone to stay home, and then he just decided to get on a plane and fly across the country after that?
Yeah, he did. He went somewhere. Didn't he go
Easter
to his cottage or something? Cabin?
He went to Quebec to, I think it was a lake house on Easter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, gave a speech telling everyone why they had to make sacrifices and stay at home. And then he got in a plane and went to Quebec.
With blackface on, yeah.
What did you think when Trudeau got busted for blackface, Stan? What were your thoughts on that?
I don't know. You guys know about Canadian history.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
No, some I heard a lot of Canadians were making fun of him because he's so liberal and so woke and so politically correct, and there he is in blackface.
Yeah, yeah.
Stan, are you glad that those fake royals are out of the country now, Meghan and Harry?
I don't know.
Did you know they were in the country?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Okay.
I heard that...
where'd they go now?
They're in Los Angeles. But Stan, they wanted Canada to pay millions of dollars for their security.
Yeah.
Would you have paid extra taxes for their security?
No.
Good.
Yeah, because that tax money should really go to saving the CFL. It's only $150 million.
That's a good plan there.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
How many people live in Canada?
40 million? Not offhand, truthfully. Like, I don't know what the figure there.
Okay, let's
about
say.
37 million. Oh,
37 million, that's all?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay,
yeah.
So everyone pays $5 and we get to keep the CFL. It doesn't seem too hard.
Yeah.
Are you on board? Are you on board with my plan, Stan?
Pardon me?
Are you on board with my plan?
I don't know.
$5 a resident.
You run for prime minister of Canada.
I'm not Canadian, though. Damn it!
I get dual citizenship.
Okay. Will you sponsor me?
Yeah.
Stan, you're so agreeable, and I think that's because of years of living with Karen.
Right.
Stan, listen, I hope you're doing okay. You stay safe, and and we'll talk to you real soon.
Right on. It's nice talking to you guys. We're still going to make it. I told Karen that about a month ago.
We should.
Pop in and surprise those guys in Detroit.
Yeah, it won't be long, Stan. We'll be talking.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, stay safe.
Okay, bye.
See you, Stan.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
See you.
See you. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Such a great guy.
He talked to his own drop.
I know.
Okay, bye.
He agreed with himself.
Yeah, no, I just let her do whatever she does.
That okay bye is the best blow-off okay bye I've ever heard.
Okay, bye.
It's awesome.
Yes.
I think it should be played at the end of every phone call.
Yeah.
Stanley.
On
I love the Who.
The Hall Financial Hotline. With Stan.
I'm glad he's okay.
And the CFL, wow, that's a big deal.
I was reading.
I thought Canada loved the CFL.
They do. I was reading a piece and people are like, they have money. They just want to bail out from the government. So it's nice to know Canada's not so different from the States.
I know. I swear, I cannot believe all the hands that are out for money. I mean, start with the airlines. Once the airlines said, it was like, me too. And, you know, like this farm money. There's so much graft already. The small business money. It's like, wait, they got money. They got money. That what? Mm-hmm. And some of them didn't even return it.
Once again, it's if you have a good accountant, and if you know
if
you know people at the bank. It just once again illustrates it's all who you know and how much money you have and how much
if you got
wherewithal.
You need aggressive people with a lot of wherewithal. Fortunately, we have Matt. I turned my brain off immediately. So I told you there was another weird true crime story. Let me see. Is there anything else about Detroit? How far in are we, by the way?
Oh, we're well over
237.
Oh my God! Ever since I globbed up, the show's been getting longer.
I know.
There's a lot of globbing up fans, by the way.
I cannot believe I meant to ask you this earlier. Did you see who had a that's a weird segue? Did you see who had a stroke over the weekend?
Wait, I think I did, but I can't think of who it is.
Jim Baker?
Oh, Bakes had a stroke?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know how bad it is, but his wife is.
Oh, my God. He was saying, if you don't send me money, bad things are going to happen, and no one sent him money.
So do you think he's faking it?
Could be. It's always a possibility with Bakes.
His wife, Lori Bakes, said that working nonstop is working nonstop.
I mean, shut up.
Asking for money nonstop took a huge toll on her husband's health.
Oh, my God.
He was recently being sued by the Missouri Attorney General for the whole silver solution. You
know, I'm so pissed about that. I'm just so pissed. It's like he's already done this. How is he on TV again? No more TV for you. You went on TV. You talked old people out of money. You ran a Ponzi scheme. That's not what we use TV for. No more TV for you.
That just killed. That gave him a stroke, though, man. And she wrote that Jim will be back soon. So maybe he's faking this whole thing. Maybe he should drink some silver to cure his stroke.
Hey, I got to ask you guys if you ever heard of this guy, because I was reading this today, and I'm like, why don't I know this story?
Can I guess the name?
Yeah.
If it's a true crime thing.
Yeah.
And we have talked about it, if it's what I think it is, but Israel Keyes?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That was the 48 hours yesterday.
Oh, God, that was a great story. We got to get into that at some point. If we run out of time today, we'll do it tomorrow. Oh, my God, what a story.
What a nut.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But that reminded me of this story. Oh, the two Georgia guys were arrested.
Yeah.
And, yes, they are trashing the guy that they murdered now. He shoplifted in 2018. He carried a gun into a high school basketball game when he was 19. He had some probation.
I can't believe those two guys knew that when they were chasing him. They found that out real quick.
I was reading articles that said that, you know, there was nothing, like he had never been arrested. So are people publishing that before they find out, or what's going on?
I don't know. Himself. I guess the one that recused himself said that he and his son investigated him, which, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's guilty or anything. And then they said that he had family members who were, quote, involved in crime. But nobody knew. Did you see the video of him jogging, looking in the house?
Yeah. First of all, he looks very slight. He's a very unthreatening looking guy. But he walked out of the house with nothing.
Unless that video is edited, he walked up the driveway, looked at something, and walked back down the driveway.
Right. Which a lot of people do. If there's a house for construction.
If you saw something.
I've walked in a couple houses just like that because the door was open. I was like, well, I haven't got that much time.
Take some nails and put them in your lion's vest.
Just wanted to see the floor plan.
Big deal. But apparently it was enough for these two guys.
Personally, I cannot believe that it took 2 months to arrest them.
Well, it really took this video getting leaked, right?
Yeah, right. In other words, if this guy did not leak this video, they might have gotten away with this. And I don't know. I haven't seen as many. I figured there would be people defending these guys no matter what. And I haven't seen a lot of that. There must be people defending them, I assume.
I'm sure.
On what basis, though?
I don't know. I haven't seen it either. But there's always 10%. I think
the basis that I've seen is more of a careful to rush to judgment. We know what happens when we see
even though they rush to judgment and kill a guy. Yeah.
I understand. Rushing
to judgment about them.
We saw the video.
Even though there's video.
That's what I've seen on social media. I've seen people say, careful, we all know what happened from taking a minute clip of Covington, and we know how that one turned out, so don't just take this one-minute clip. We don't know what happened before or after.
Except this guy is dead, and we can see him jogging around the vehicle, right. And you can see what happens. They confront him because they think he burglarized him. They said it. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's on the record, and the 911 call, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't do him a lot of favors, too. Yeah. There's a black man running down the street. He's jogging. He jogged there all the time. And they grabbed their guns. They ran out. They confronted him. He didn't take it well, as a lot of people wouldn't. If two guys confront me with a gun, I'm not going to be real happy about it either.
No.
It's not their job to confront.
That's kind of where I stop. You call 911.
It's the same thing with Zimmerman.
Let them do their job. I guess if you want to follow from a distance so they don't get away, that's fine. But why are you, I don't know. I don't get the whole thing.
You know, there have been so many.
Seems like a straight up murder.
There have been so many big stories over the years about, you know, this person only did this, and this is what happened, and this is terrible. And honestly, the Trayvon Martin story probably bothers me as much as any story, although, you know, there's a couple others that are terrible and probably worse. But just the support for that guy and the fact that this guy is walking to his dad's house and this asshole calls 911 and they say, okay, sit tight. We'll send someone out. Don't follow him. And what does he do? He follows him because he wants the confrontation and he knows he has a gun. So if the guy fights back, he can just shoot him.
He's so excited.
It's really nice for him.
Zimmerman's so excited about Law and Order until the 911 operator tells you to stay where you are because police are on the way. What?
I know. He's part of the neighborhood watch.
I know, but he believes in it until he doesn't want to believe in it.
By the way, the neighborhood watch thing even sounded kind of shaky, like they didn't really need a neighborhood watch.
No, do you think they did it to pacify Zimmerman?
I think he liked being part of the neighborhood watch. I think he got off on that.
Clearly.
And carrying his gun around.
And if anything, he should be more emboldened now.
Well, if you're going to be the neighborhood watch guy and you're going to be super aggressive, you should at least know who lives where you know, who maybe belongs there.
Did you see they caught the two murderers from Flint, the dollar store one?
Oh, really? Yeah.
One of them was in Houston, and not only did they arrest him, but they arrested two other people in Houston who helped him get to Texas.
They rented a car and drove him to Texas.
Yep.
Went to Walmart, got him clothes, rented him a room. You know, this is where the no snitching thing just drives me crazy. This drives me crazy. Why? How much do you like this person? How much does he do that is so important that even if he murders someone in cold blood, mm-hmm. you're willing to overlook it? Oh, he's so much better than that, though. This guy is important enough. And by the way, nice life he's going to have at the Econo Lodge in Houston for the rest of his life.
Hey, we should look up some reviews for that Econo Lodge.
Oh, should we call them?
Oh, sure. They should be arrested, too. I don't know
if it was the Econo Lodge. Yeah, those two arrested. And also, the daughter that caused all this shit by yapping at the security guard, she was arrested, too, because she lied and misled the police because, God forbid, that her murdering brother and father get caught. I mean, that would just be the worst thing ever.
You know what's funny in reading about this story? It was a little bit confusing at first. So the mom and her daughter were together, 45 and 24? Is that what
she's 24.
Is? So the mom had a mask on and the daughter didn't. That's when the security guard said, you know, you need a mask on. And the mom then is the one that became the aggressor. We knew the daughter spit in the guy's face, but I didn't know the mom.
Well, the daughter talked some shit.
But I didn't know that the mom would be. The mom's wearing a mask. Turn to your daughter. If you know it's okay to wear a mask, turn to your daughter and tell her to put a fucking mask on.
It's a policy. You know what you do? You go, I'll never shop here again. Bye. And you know what? The rest of
tell
us will shop there. We're glad because we don't want you and your no mask.
How much stuff are you going to buy at the dollar store? She can wait in the car. You can get it, Mom.
Honestly, the more I think about it, the more
this is the dumbest murder I think I've ever heard of.
It's like 9/11 and the really aggressive searching people is like, look, you know, this is an unusual situation. We have to do more than we want to do. We have to be more suspicious than we normally are. And you just have to put up with it. And of course, some people are like, well, this is terrible. You fucking bitch.
I don't get it.
And the seatbelts, too. I mean, I couldn't believe when I was in Massachusetts, that whole thing was so stupid. And people would protest about the seatbelt law. They'd have big protests. And they actually
won. I'm not a baby.
I know.
It's not about you. It's about other people.
Well, it kind of is about you, I guess, with the seatbelts.
Well, yeah, until your rates go up for everyone.
Well, yeah, that's true. No, I agree.
When you die.
It's not just about you.
I don't see the name of the hotel where Larry was hiding.
Let's see if we can find out and maybe call tomorrow.
Oh, Studio 6 Motel. Okay.
Oh, I'm sure it's classy as hell. See what the reviews look like.
Sounds nice.
Studio 6?
Studio 6 Motel.
Charge my phone.
West Houston.
The Studio 6.
It's probably really lovely. Oh, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I see a ton.
So do you suppose he paid them to do this?
Oh, I would think so. Wouldn't you?
Because I was trying to go, why would anyone do something so stupid? But people do this all the fucking time.
Really? Oh, he's going to get away with it?
You know, I guess people do. What, so he's going to, you know, no wife, no kids. I'll just live in a
live
in Studio 6.
Just kidding.
I'll clean up the rooms. I'll be part of the maid service, and I'll live a great life.
Oh, I don't think that was part of his plan.
Probably not.
No, I'm sure the plan was lay low for a while, let the heat blow over, and then come back. But nice, by the way, that you took your son. You didn't take your son with you.
I know.
I mean, your son's wanted too. Shouldn't you guys stay together and go to Houston instead of the son's just hanging out in Bay City?
At least the family.
Stepson, right?
The family that murders. True. That murders together stays together. I mean, usually.
He was my son when we murdered someone. The second we need to flee, he's now my stepson. I don't give a shit about him.
Yeah, he was stepson.
Ludacris. Ugh.
Any good reviews?
I can't find the exact one. I'm working on it,
though. Okay. Well, I'll mention the true crime story.
Yes,
I did not know this story at all, but there's this guy in New Orleans named Vince Marinello, and he died about a month ago. I just happened to read the obit on him. Anyway, he was a big sports guy in town. He was a news TV sports anchor. He did Saints games for a while, play-by-play. And for some reason, this sounded weird to me. He got in a dispute over the TV station was bought by someone else,
mm-hmm.
and they immediately were cutting salaries, I guess, because TV.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, TV people back then, I mean, probably made more than they make now. I'm sure he did. I guarantee it. Anyway, he ends up getting a job at WWL AM radio, which would be like going in 1993, you have to remember. From TV to WJR, because WJR was a big paying station then, and you know, their talent made a lot of money, and that would have been a big deal. And he'd been in a couple bad marriages. He married this girl in, I think, 76, his second marriage. They separated in 1980, and they were still separated. They weren't officially divorced in 2004 when Vince, who, by the way, I guess he's kind of likes to portray himself as larger than life, lives big, and, you know, everybody knows him, and he's all over town eating here and there and everywhere, and kind of big shotty. He meets this woman at an event that he was emceeing, I guess.
He's got really weird hair.
Hey, yeah, did you know who's emceeing this event? Me.
Yeah. By the way, he had a big fat hair piece.
Oh, boy.
Really
did?
Big hair. And it didn't really look like
it's
a
haircut.
It didn't really look like a hair piece just because the way it was styled. I don't know. Anyway.
They always used to say I wore a hair piece.
People thought he had... people thought he had this really big hair until... what happened, uh-oh, and he had to take a photograph without his toupee on. So,
the that, Gary that Glitter.
The worst, that's
Gary
the worst
Glitter,
part
right?
of the story.
Same yeah. thing happened to Gary yeah. Glitter.
And Phil Spector. Oh, and Michael Milken.
Who's Michael Milken?
Junk Bond guy.
Oh,
he had
I don't
a toupee,
know.
And he, yeah, all of a sudden there's well, Jim, people just love putting that picture. Every media, oh, get the picture of Milken bald out there.
Wait, what about, isn't it Jim Trafficant, the Ohio guy? Didn't he have the same thing, or was his
I think
hair
that
real?
Was his real stupid hair.
Oh, wow.
God, we talked about that. Trudy knows.
Yeah.
Anyway, he meets this Mary Elizabeth Norman Caruso, she has four names, at this event, which, by the way, I think was a car wash. I'm like, he's emceeing something at a car wash, and you think that's really hot? But anyway, shortly after this, they have a whirlwind courtship. Everybody said, oh, my God, they're incredible. These people are wildly in love. And they get married.
Nice.
And then Katrina happens.
Oh, yeah.
And WWL AM was the only station on the air for quite a while. And Vince Marinello anchored a lot of their Katrina coverage, and I guess his star was on the rise because people are like, oh, Vince Marinello, he was our lifeline during Katrina. And,
oh, I'd love to have a voice like that.
And he,
voice.
He thought, I'm making a big comeback, because he had always felt bad because, like, oh, man, going to radio really kind of lowered my profile. And so he did all these appearances to try and keep his profile up, but, you know, he thought this Katrina was going to build him back up. And anyway, the new wife, who's 41, Vince is 66.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Is she hot? I mean,
she
fell in love at a car wash.
Look her up. Mary Elizabeth Norman Caruso.
All right.
Marinello.
That's a mouthful.
She finds out that Vince is still paying his ex-wife from 1980, still paying some expenses for her, and she is livid. And she starts, like, doxing her husband.
Oh, God.
And she finds out that his divorce was final 3 days after they got married.
Oh.
So she tells him that she's going to expose him as a bigamist and insists that that she's had it. And she's been going to a therapist because she's so anxious. And it's all because of him. And he, by the way, had at one point...
she's not bad looking. There's only one picture of her, but...
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of pictures of her either. At one point, he had a filing where he said, let's see, it wasn't very flattering.
Oh, boy.
I think he called her annoying. There was a series of adjectives he used. Let's see, where is it?
Annoying.
Oh, yeah. She's cold, sarcastic, selfish, unfair, and aggravating.
Hmm.
And she's codependent with her daughter. It's all about her daughter.
Hmm.
Always has to be with her daughter. So he was fed up with her, too. Anyway, August 31st, 2006, yeah, she's leaving her therapist's office because the poor thing has all this anxiety and depression because of Vince. And Vince.
Ooh, I dodged a bullet there.
Some guy rides by on a bicycle in the parking lot and shoots her in the head.
Hey, I know you. Ha ha.
I know. It's like, what?
I can already figure out where this is.
Yep. So they report that some wild-looking guy with a beard, a mustache, looked like a scruffy old guy in a bicycle. And then someone said, I think he put the bicycle in a Ford Taurus and took off.
You could have just used your Taurus, you dope.
I know. So... Oh, it just so happens. He has a Ford Taurus.
Oh, that's crazy.
He has a Ford Taurus. That's not good for his imaging, is it? Anyway, He said, oh, no. I was on my way to my girlfriend's place. I got there about 6:30 to watch the Saints game.
Someone spotted him putting the Wouldn't you just love to see him struggling because you know the hairpiece is falling off?
He's 66.
The mustache and beard are probably all askew.
Yep. So anyway, the girl, the person whose house he was going to watch the Saints game was an ex-girlfriend.
Ooh,
and she said, nice. I don't think he's here at 6:30. He got here after kickoff. Kickoff was 7:30. So I was like, oh, he did it, you fucker.
Nice then plan, idiot.
They find out that, he bought a fake beard and a mustache from this guy a month ago.
From a guy.
And he bought nylon-covered bullets or nylon bullets or something, which are really rare. Huh. From the only, well, there are very few places even sell them. And I guess this guy said, I sold some to Vince. Vince Marinello was in here buying those. So like, oh, I got him. Search warrant. He's living in a FEMA trailer because his place flooded completely. They searched the place, and he's got a murder list of all the shit he has to do.
Oh, what a moron. Why do people keep their lists?
I know.
Checklist.
Convicted. Toupee. See ya.
Oh, that's awesome.
That the first thing they did was get rid of that rug?
Yeah, they were so... Actually, I think when they announced guilty, someone just yanked it off his head immediately. They took a picture, and it was in online within seconds.
Did you see, Brandon, have you seen the picture?
Oh, I've been looking at several of them, yeah, with the toupee and without.
There's a great comparison.
How bad is a toupee?
A comparison picture. Let me see. He is dead now, by the way. I just thought, and it was reported on WWL. Look at that. Here's a better picture of that.
He just died. That's why the story came up, and I was like, why didn't I know this story? This was 2006. We did a lot of true crime, and I don't remember this story.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That probably got buried in so much Katrina stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why don't you get us out of here, because it's crazy that the show is still going.
There's an insane...
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
I mean, you ever see that Katrina story where that guy and his girl lived in the French Quarter and then he ended up like eating her?
No.
The craziest story about Katrina. Have you ever heard of that story, Brandon? I thought we might have talked about it before.
No idea what the hell. Oh,
you're my God. It's a cannibal. I mean, it's got cannibalism, it's got true crime, it's got Hurricane Katrina, and it's fantastic. It's weird.
I wonder what happened. What happened to the poor daughter without her codependent mother?
That's right, yeah.
She probably hot.
Whenever she's depressed, she probably goes online and looks at his mugshot and laughs. I don't know how that couldn't bring joy to her heart.
You know, that was so weird to think this guy who was so into being a star and he spends his last 14 years in prison and dies at 82. It's just so weird. It's like, wow. Well, he had a heart attack 5 days after the guilty verdict, by the way. A real heart attack.
Really?
Yeah. They got him better, threw him in prison, and... there you have it. He wiled away 14 years and just croaked.
Ugh.
There you go. Anyway, tomorrow, Trudy in the house had an idea. I was looking at the Facebook Live numbers, and I was like, seems like they're higher when Trudy's on. I wonder if she's not on, if we should hire or just get some volunteer hot chick to fill up her square.
Yes, I think we should do that, yeah.
Yeah, submit your applications at Drew and Mike Podcast.
We'll have to ask for some kind of a picture, or just maybe your Facebook or whatever.
Yeah,
no, I can be real fussy about it. It just seems to help.
And the guy had an idea to everybody live watch Cops, which I think we should do.
That's a great idea. All right, sure. I got some awesome Cops. I paid $17 for a season that they wouldn't give you.
Well,
I was
worth
so
it.
So psyched. It was great.
Unless you just take him and then whip his ass good and proper, because that's what he needs.